everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Syndication Station, the weekly, again, podcast where we talk about television shows we grew up watching. You watch them now. You know, we become friends over dumb subjects like dinosaurs and time travel and...
Dinosaurs.
Bingo. Exactly. I'm your co-host, Mike. Joining me are my co-host, Josh and Dom. Fellas.
Salutations.
There it is.
Greetings.
If you don't know by now.
I greet you.
If you don't know by
guess
now.
Guess what we've been doing?
We've been playing Hearthstone again. We just jumped right to that segment. You can catch me on Syndication Station, this podcast, which you're already listening to. But you can also check me out over at Arcade Sushi's 5x5, a show we do over there, Josh and I, with some cohorts, colleagues, friends of ours that you may know from other shows on the internet, aka Continue, aka Continue Cast. It's a weekly anti-list show where we just do whatever the fuck we want and love the shit out of it. You can catch Dom and Josh over on Fantasy Fiction, our semi-sister podcast, Kissing Cousin Podcast, let's call it that.
It gets a little distant with each episode, I think.
Yeah.
Because this is becoming its own beast.
But its own monster. Its own dinosaur.
This is dropping out a core hound here. 9-5.
Damn.
You want to come and fuck with this? That's Hearthstone humor.
Right there. Hold on, everybody. Buckle your seatbelts. I don't want us to grow apart. I want Fantasy Fiction and Syndication Station to stay in touch. I want us to call once a week. We have to know how... You have to tell me how your kids are doing. Are they honor students? How do I know?
How many stickers do you have on the back of your minivan to indicate your children?
How many? Tell us.
All right, so I'm sorry, these guys kill me. All right, guys, so this week, Syndication Station episode 9, we are talking about Dinosaurs season 1 episode 1. But wait a minute, guys, what have you been up to this week?
Dom, you go first, because I don't know anything.
What are you doing?
Okay, I'll go first here. Well, I've just been working on the usual, and I'm not going to talk about Hearthstone because I've been talking about that all the time. So I'm going to talk about how I entered a Reddit gift exchange today for the first time.
Oh, interesting. Go on.
It's a thing. It's like a Secret Santa, but it's across the whole globe. And send like a
the 20 Earth.
Yes. The whole Earth.
Oh, I thought you meant like a globe, like in your bedroom. I was like, okay, that's reasonable size.
Reasonable, but it's not.
I meant
the real thing.
Because you're an idiot, Mike, and I meant the entire world.
But I entered, a Tolkien gift exchange. So the gift exchange are Secret Santas across the internet, and then you send like a $20 gift or something to someone and try and get them something they like. But then there are specific ones, and I joined the Lord of the Rings one that is about to end soon.
Because
I don't know.
What are you going to get?
That would be fun. I don't know. I said my favorite character was Saruman. And then, write a little bit about yourself. And I was like, I gave some, like, my t-shirt size and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I just put, pretty much, I'll be happy with it, whatever you give me. Just don't buy me any crossover shirts that are, like, The Hobbit and Adventure Time, and it says Hobbit Time or some shit. Seriously, nothing makes me cringe more than those t-shirts.
Yeah.
Because what I don't like about those t-shirts are that there's a person who doesn't own either of those things, and they're making money off of it, and they shouldn't be, because that's wrong.
Whoa.
I'm going to go there.
I'm going to make a crossover shirt that's a crossover between Rocky 3 and the A-Team, and it's just Mr. T.
It's just Clover Lang.
And it's going to say, the 3-Team, Rocky.
No. Have it say Rocky at the top and then A-Team at the bottom.
Which one is it?
Rocky's A-Team, starring Mr. T, Clubber Lang.
Mr. T, Clubber Lang.
Those shirts used to be clever, right? Like, they were like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
But now it's just saturated, and then it's like, that's not, like, I've seen joke redone.
It's like when the reference is within a reference within a reference, I can get behind it. Like, you know, sometimes they're just like stacking clever things on clever things, but when they just superimpose one on top of the other, it gets kind of sloppy. Luke hates that shit too. We talk about it all the time. But Dom, anyway. I gotta ask you, if your favorite character is Saruman, are you Sauron?
He's an orc.
I'm up into my I'm existing in a ring, and I'm token on that halfling's leaf, homie.
Oh my god, old Toby.
Dude, you like, is it, you're just a big,
He's toking it.
He's toking the token. Dude. Oh, Toby.
That's how you, when you smoke, you have to make those wizard noises.
Yeah. It makes it okay.
That makes you wise. That's how you get magic. Are you a big Christopher Lee fan? Is that why you like Saruman? I have to understand why you.
Yeah, Christopher Lee is so rad in those films.
Yeah, dude. Christopher Lee's corpse in the Hobbit movies are pretty good too.
Whoa! Unnecessary. That man's a real life Dracula.
It's a real life Dracula.
You can tell because his hair and his fingernails keep growing, even though he's been dead for 10 years.
No, you can tell because he played Dracula.
Yeah, that too. He was also a Dracula. So that's cool, though, man. That sounds fun. Let me know how it is. I hope you don't get murdered.
No, they won't give it to him in person.
No, I know, but I hope he doesn't get the anthrax.
But Jesus!
Okay. I should be okay.
Okay. I just hope he doesn't get anthrax, that's all. Josh, what have you been up to? Josh Henderson.
Good. I have a suit.
I have a hazmat suit. Man, what did I do this week? I don't think I did shit.
Josh,
I don't think
Anderson.
I did anything.
Yeah.
You told me you practiced dubstep dancing.
Yeah, I did. I did do that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, how could I forget?
You had a couple fights with your cats, I think.
Yeah, my cats have been out of control stupid because it's hot in my house, and they hate each other.
So they attack you.
Yeah, they hate me, and they hate everything. They just hate everything. They're haters. They're haters.
Maybe they just want a haircut.
They're cats. You can't really give cats a haircut.
Sure you can. You take them to the cat haircutter.
I'm not doing that. You got to get them anesthetized.
What?
Yeah, man, cats don't... They don't... You can't just go and be like, cut my cat's hair, because they hate it.
Can you get
it.
Them all doped up on catnip and then just shave them all down?
No, yeah, you got to get them doped up on, like, whatever they do to, like, knock them out when they cut their testes off.
Old Toby, they smoke them up on the old Toby.
Yeah, they just hotbox them.
Man, those cats think they're so smart. But we're going to knock them out and take away their genitals.
That'll show them who's
boss.
You're
so smart, cat.
Who's
huh?
in charge now?
I'm going to knock you out and give you a new haircut when you wake up.
Do you think that cats, like, get knocked out and then, like, okay, like, the first time they get knocked out, they wake up, they don't have balls anymore, right? And then, like, the next time you go get them a haircut, okay, do you think when you knock them out, they wake up and they think their balls are going to be back, and then they're super double disappointed?
Yeah, it was just, like, this, like, window that was, like, a really long dream.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I remember this place. My sack should be back. What?
Yeah, dude, it's the Flintstones logic. Like, a bowling ball hit him on the head once, no balls after that. The bowling ball hits him on the head again. Second time, they're like, oh, my funny accent should be gone, and I'm no longer in charge of the mafia. Oh, no, my balls aren't back. That's like, Jesus. Anybody
Mike, what did
reference.
You do this week, dude?
Dude, yeah. I didn't do dick this week. I couldn't even find time for us to do this podcast the night we were supposed to do it.
Why
so
didn't
now
we hang out? We both weren't doing anything. Why didn't we hang out?
No. I mean, I didn't do anything. Like, I didn't have time to do anything fun. I wish we could have hung out, man. I went to stupid work all week, and like, it's fine. Like, you know, the job's harmless, and the people there are cool and everything. It's just like, I'm not used to it. It's just my second week of full time work in a long time. And when I had some downtime, I played that card game that we shall not speak its name because it's in my lifeblood now, and it's given me. Oh, you know what happened to me this week? You know what happened to me? I had two alien abduction experiences, Dom. I had sleep paralysis nightmares or sleep paralysis with nightmares twice this week.
Dude,
you
got abducted.
Dude, I got fucking abducted.
You got the thing.
I got the thing. I got the thing. Well, dude, here's what happened. Like on Tuesday night, I'm falling asleep and like, guys, Josh, put on the music here, please. Spooky cast. It's the two spooky cast. We started early again this week. I'm falling asleep. It's kind of. It's a full moon or not? And but I had my window and shades open, and it was really bright outside. And I don't know if it was a full moon or not. And so I'm falling asleep. And, you know, like, sleep paralysis, like, the scientific thing is, like, it sets in. So the whole thing is, like, the part of REM sleep that your body enters.
Boring!
So I told them this. They know.
Right. So the muscles will shut down so you don't act out your dream, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
So that happens, like, too sweet. But, like, I'm not in REM sleep yet. And, like, and so, like, I'm laying there, and I'm not – my eyes aren't open. I'm not conscious. Dude, this is – I'm getting goosebumps remembering. Oh, my God. So I'm laying there, and – I hear the dog running through the house, and I'm like,
"You
I'm
have
like,
a
oh,
dog?
I can totally." Well, I'm like, "I can totally hear the dog," and oh no, here comes the dog. He's gonna run into my room. The puppy's coming into my room, and because I'm like, my head's on the pillow, you know, and I'm like, I can feel it like through the ground and everything.
Yeah,
and he jumps on the bed, and the bed like sinks down.
Like a Native American used to hear dogs.
Right, exactly. Put their ear to the ground, and they're like puppy close. So, is that racist? I don't know. So, like, maybe. So the bed like dips down at the foot of the bed when like the dog like jumps on the bed or whatever, and I can feel like its paws, and like, you know, like when their claws are coming out of their paws a little bit, you know, and they just kind of like brush up against your skin. And so I'm laying on my left hand side, and my right elbow is exposed, and like the puppy like steps on that and like pushes my arm in, and it's like, and I'm like, oh, here comes the face licking. He's licking my face and in my ear, and you get that like the wet tongue ear suction thing, you know, that happens and all.
Ew.
And it's all happening, and then in that instant I get inceptioned. I have the inception moment where I'm like, we don't have a dog.
Yeah, dude.
And
what?
And I'm now I'm like, okay, so I'm dreaming, I have to wake up. And then I'm like, I don't think I ever started to sleep, though, and I can't move.
Maybe you teleported to a different dimension.
It's fucking horrifying. See, like, in my dream, there's one really interesting part in that movie, Inception. I mean, I think Christopher Nolan hit the nail on the head, where Tom Hardy's character projects the image of another person through himself in somebody's dream.
Yeah.
I knew exactly.
Because that's what happens. Do you ever have – yeah, when you have a dream about, like, oh, I was dating my ex-girlfriend again, except my ex-girlfriend was, like, Charlize Theron. And you're
exactly.
Like, oh, yeah, makes sense.
Exactly. It was a gray greyhound in my dream.
Yeah.
And – but I was like, oh, it's my sister's dog. I was like, oh, it's Trixie, because my sister has a puppy, like a – you know, full-grown, like, just over a year-old puppy. And it was, like, some weird – mashup of the two things in my head.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, it's the puppy, but not Trixie. But I was like, but this makes sense because it would be Trixie. But then, like, in that moment, I'm like, wait a minute, it's like 1 a.m. I was like, Paula's not over. What's going on? What's on me? What's licking me? And
it was
and
me,
dude.
You guys did hang out.
I was gonna hang out with them one way or another. So
yeah, dude. Whether you had an alien sleep ray me or whatever, but I. So when I snapped out of it, like, you know, and it's that like, it's that K hole you're trying to crawl out of. Not that I know what that's like, but like, you know, it's like a K hole you're trying to come out of, and like, oh my God, it's so nightmare, it's so horrifying. And I finally woke up, and that was it, man. Like. I couldn't move in bed because I was so scared. I'm 32 years old. I'm 5'11", 210 pounds. And I was like, I'm not moving out of this bed. I was like, I'm under the covers. I'm safe from whatever's in the room with me.
Dude, I do that.
You know what I'm talking about, dude? And Dom. Like,
If I just stay still. The ghost won't get me.
The ghost, I was like, the alien's ghost dog won't get me. And I don't mean Forrest Whitaker from another planet. I mean, like, dude. So, like, I don't know, man. It was, and I look at my phone, which I just like set my alarm and put down, and it was less than like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, dude, it was just so horrific. And like, all I wanted to do was like call somebody, you know, I wanted to metaphorically roll over and wake up the person I was sleeping with who was not there, or call a friend. But I was like, you know what? I'm a grown man. I can go back to sleep. I can deal with this. I can overcome my fear. Obviously it's anxiety. Obviously I'm anxious about work. You know, we're editing Smart Guys. We got a lot of stuff going on and everything. Just busy. Right. So like, this is the highlight of my week, is this sleep paralysis nightmare. Nothing fun that. And then it happens to me again on Thursday night. And on Thursday night, it was way later. It was like 3:30 in the morning, and same spooky scenario. But this time, it was just as I was falling asleep. What was it? It was like intangibly horrifying. Just like it was like the
so
person
real life,
like the person in the room kind of thing. And that time when I woke up, it wasn't like the first time. It was like nightmarish and like paranormal. Like I said to a friend when describing the first experience, I was like, this hasn't happened to me in years, because I don't think I've been this stressed in years.
Yeah.
And where, like, I'm actually not sleeping because I'm thinking. Like, usually I fall asleep on the drop of a dime. I can lay on the floor right here and just fall asleep.
I've seen you fall asleep on top of a bowling ball.
It's happened. Dom knows what I'm talking about. Dom, you fall asleep like it's nobody's business. You lay on the ground and you're out of the light.
Dom's a Dracula, though.
I power nap at work, man. I just lay right under my desk and then I just nap for 5 minutes and wake back up.
Yeah, man, I'm exactly the same way. So, like, for me to not be able to go to sleep because I'm thinking is, like, a little far. And so, obviously, I'm stressed. So, the first night, I said to a friend when describing it, I was like, I would rather me have been abducted by aliens and they have put that dream in my head and me rejecting it and waking up the way I did than the other possibility, which was what was racing through my mind at the time, was that, like, I somehow bridged the gap between two realities and I was experiencing both realities simultaneously, which seems way cooler and way less horrifying, but, like, the actualization of that in my sleep deprived, you know, anxiety ridden brain at 1:30 in the morning, I was like, I don't want that. I want it to be aliens instead. I'd rather it be the ghost dog than
damn, you thought you was listening to the syndication station, but this is a straight up Star Trek.
Dude, it's crazy. Dude, it was
ask for a glass of water from the robots.
Dude, I was like, it was horrible. It was like that show, what was that show with Jason Isaacs?
Dinosaurs!
Yeah, it was Dinosaurs! Whatever. It was like that show that was on NBC last year that got canceled. What was that show? The one where he, like, when he would go
Community?
To sleep... You wake up
75 shows were canceled last year on ABC.
Yeah.
NBC? Hold on, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let's this is going to be funny, I promise. Malfoy's father.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Jason Isaac, right? That's his name, right? Yeah, sure. Okay. So he was a detective on a TV show.
It's called, like, Sleeps?
Awakenings.
No, Awakenings, yeah.
Waking life. No, it's not either. But it was something like that where, like, when he would
nurse
fall asleep.
Betty.
Right. I'm sure everybody will leave a comment and, like, maybe we could watch that show on for the podcast at some point, because I heard it was really good. But it was like that. It was like when I went to sleep, I, like, somehow woke up in another possibility, another reality, like a Bioshock Infinite situation. And it was just like that game where, like, the narrative in that game, spoilers, where, like, my brain's, like, trying to, like, make sense. Like, oh, how am I here? Like, what, you know? And but the second time was just straight up spooky ghost, like just spooky ghostman in the room, like terrifying. And I was like,
wait, so you'd rather be abducted by aliens than have you? That's weird, man.
It was a horrifying realization. It was a horrifying possibility. Like that.
Now you know what I go through every day.
All right. Enough spooky cast. I'm sorry. So that was my week.
what we all did was we watched Dinosaurs together, and people were going off the chain about it on the subreddit. We got, like, a ton of comments.
50 comments. Guys, we can't thank you enough. The listeners, you came through. Awesome. Tremendous return in form to the show. Out of hiatus, out of stasis, back in effect.
Back in action.
Let's go over the vital statistics here. 1991? Question mark.
Yeah,
I didn't write that down. Each of you, by the way, 1991. I was six.
Eight.
I was 10. I was 10 years old.
We shouldn't be friends. You guys are too old. You guys should be doing cool stuff.
Stranger danger.
What are you doing talking to me? I'm a little wiener.
I'm wearing a suit right now, so
yeah,
because I'm an adult.
Yeah,
because I have a job.
I remember having to rush home from soccer practice with, like, my orange slice still in my teeth to, like, watch the show. I don't know if any of our listeners can, like, relate to that, but, like, that was, like, totally a thing. You had to run home to, like, watch TV because, like, you couldn't, like,
not this show, because this show was on TGI Fridays.
Yeah, man. Yeah, because soccer games were on Saturday mornings, so we practice on Friday nights.
Oh, I didn't play because soccer.
You didn't have school the next day, so you could have practice that night. You know, well, yeah, sometimes you'd practice like early in the week, too. We did two weeks, no big deal. So this show was produced by Jim Henson Productions and Michael Jacob Michael Jacob Productions. And
he wrote the first episode, co-wrote the first episode.
Exactly. Michael Jacob Productions, for those who don't know, Michael Jacobs was integral in the development of a lot of familiar sitcoms from the 80s and 90s, most notably Charles in Charge, which is a forgotten gem, and Boy Meets World, which we all know and love.
Yeah, you know the name just from the end slate.
Yeah, the slate. And if I have to...
Sounds just like that, by the way.
And if I have to tell... That's Link dying in Legend of Zelda. That's...
Wait, yeah, it is. Hey, guys, make a t-shirt out of it.
make a t-shirt. If I have to tell you guys who Jim Henson is, if I have to tell our listeners, I gotta stop with the you guys.
Today is the 24th anniversary of his death.
What? The 15th? Is that what today? There's 16th?
Wait, Jim Henson? Real?
Yeah.
Aww. Dude, did you know it's also the third anniversary of Dio's death? I said that to you already.
Yeah. So. Oh, man.
Jim Henson was the Dio of puppetry.
That's true. All right, so let's no, that wasn't for you. That was for it's getting hot in here because it's almost summertime.
No, yeah, no, I'm laughing at the transition because we couldn't really transition out of that.
I didn't mean to sigh that way.
I'm not laughing at the sigh.
I'm sorry. We're leaving it in. Don't cut it out, Josh. All right.
I'm not.
Henson wanted he wanted to develop dinosaurs as a sitcom. For years, so he wanted a sitcom with a standard structure, but the big difference was that obviously he wanted it to be set in this fake prehistory, this like you know anthropomorphic dinosaur history or whatever. But what he really wanted to do was show the typical family sitcom, but that had a dysfunctional and toxic lifestyle. I think his son Brian said that. I think I caught that from the Wikipedia. But it wasn't until The Simpsons started gaining success in 89 and 90 that I think it was the vice president. I can't remember who it was of Jim Henson's company.
Dan
that said, like,
Quayle.
it was somebody within Henson's company like later would remember that like the networks weren't buying his pitch for you know what would be dinosaurs until after The Simpsons had success. Because people at the time thought it was a crazy idea. They're like, you can't have a dysfunctional family sitcom that's sort of appeals to children, but also has adult themes.
Oh, but that's like, kind of see that.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. It very much comes through. For those who don't know, The Simpsons was a short that would run Groening, you know, Matt Groening's shorts that would run on the Tracy Ullman show. That was sort of a spinoff from his comic, Which Way to Hell? Is that what it was called, Dom?
Life in Hell.
Life in Hell. That was it. Yeah, and the original, I think, the working title for The Simpsons as a series, though, even though it was obviously the family was called The Simpsons, was Not the Cosbys. That was the name. Not the Cosbys was the name of the show. And it's funny because that sums up exactly what the show was. It was the antithesis of the, you know, functional, modern family unit that was the Cosby Show. This gigantic family, you know, that was running against the grain of what people were used to seeing on television in a uplifting and constructive way. Instead,
they
it's
all
sort
love
of,
each other. They right. all figure out their problems. They all hug at the end.
Right, right. Exactly. Yep. Instead, they
and
took,
the Cosby Show is a great show.
It was a wonderful show. But The Simpsons like took that all in the family approach of being like, hey, here's your regular boilerplate white family, and look how dysfunctional it is. You know, putting a mirror in front of you to be like, this could be your family, you know? And I, you know, Henson obviously was on to, like, I guess the same idea around the same time, 88, 89. But it turns out that, like, you know, again, networks weren't biting on besuited anthropomorphic dinosaurs.
Well, yeah. It's funny.
in a dysfunctional family.
It's funny that it gets greenlit after the fact because you can see, you can almost look at the executive notes in this show.
Absolutely.
The baby, first and foremost, they're like, he is the comic relief. Mm-hmm. That's the Bart Simpson.
Yeah. Right.
So he pops out. The first thing he does when he appears in the storyline, not in the show because he's like one of the two characters in this first episode that are actually there.
Yeah.
But when he bursts onto the scene and he cracks out of his egg, he is ripping off catchphrase after catchphrase.
Oh my God,
he's like,
yeah.
And they sold that shit, and they play that in the bumpers for the show, in the trailers and everything. Mm. Be like, this week on Dinosaurs.
It was
and
the hook. Like, that was
somebody
the
gets hit in the head with a frying pan, and it was like too much. It was like a parody in itself, because Dinosaurs was supposed to be a parody of those shows.
Right, exactly. Which when we get to listener comments, I don't know whether it's the pilot, just the pilot episode, or people did have experience with the show beyond this. Successful or not successful, that's debatable. It's obviously didn't have the lasting power, or maybe because it was a little left of center, or a little left of center, not meaning liberal, just meaning like a little odd, obviously because of the premise and all. But Married with Children did the exact same thing. And Married with Children did it incredibly successfully, but Married with Children was degenerate. Where The Simpsons wasn't really degenerate, The Simpsons had the hook of that show was it was a cartoon. Whereas the hook of this show was it was Muppets and Elmo was on the show with the catchphrases and everything. But it's interesting that I was like reading all this stuff about the show and nobody mentioned how like Married with Children, which was a show at the same time on Fox, it was the show that made the Fox Network, not The Simpsons. Married with Children did, and. Right. It's basically the same idea, and I wonder if Henson was looking at that show at the time and was like, you know, I'd really like to, you know, because Married with Children never – there's no commentary in that show. It's just about – it's the sad clown. It's all about, you know, Al Bundy being dumped on all the time. Yep. It's
a great show.
It's a great show. It's Death of a Salesman where Willie Loman doesn't kill himself.
He doesn't kill himself. Right. He's just miserable, and it's funny to watch.
And he's in hell. And like I can't help but wonder if like Jacobs and Henson were like looking at this and or looking at that show and being like, that's great, but what if we put social commentary in there too? And it was Dinosaurs who said it, which is just a Henson thing. Which
well,
is
Dinosaurs, even all even the if weed, it was going to be
all
a
the
toxic
LSD. I'm sorry, God, yeah.
Dinosaurs, even if it was going to be like a toxic family, it was still meant for families to watch.
Oh yeah.
So I think it was still going to be a Henson production. You can see that in the final product that it's much softer than it probably wanted to be.
Yeah.
But yes. I would say it goes in terms of these sitcoms at the time. It goes Dinosaurs, which is the very calculated version. I feel like it's because it had been done a few times. And
right.
These are the,
right.
Preceding shows. Dinosaurs, Roseanne, Simpsons, Married with Children, and that's like as they go on there, they get more and more edgier. You know,
yes.
And Roseanne is the better show, but Dinosaurs has like really pushes home that these like messages every episode, which is real interesting because that's a very old school way of making television.
Yep.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's the bait and switch. Like it's like you know, you're going to watch the funny cartoon movie. Thing like coming off the success of Henson's success with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which was the most successful independent film to that day, you know, and obviously how great the animatronics were and the puppetry and all that. But at the same time, it's like, okay, well, we can tackle like a real life issue. We just don't have to do it in such a stark manner, which is what Roseanne did well. Roseanne didn't candy coat anything. The humor came out of how dark everything was. And there's a show that nobody mentioned on the subreddit. That the three of us hadn't talked about too, that I asterisked right here. And I was like, did we miss our opportunity to talk about, even though the episode hasn't even really gotten underway yet, to talk about Fraggle Rock. Should we instead have maybe watched Fraggle Rock first and Dinosaurs second? Because Dom, what you just said was like Fraggle Rock was where Jim Henson on HBO, nonetheless, is where Henson got to use his puppets to convey a message. Again, old school television way of making, or old school way of making television, like, hey, we're going to listen to the silly stoner puppets talk about environmentalism.
Figure something out and be better.
Right. And like, so it's a very creative way for you to take a, what would otherwise seem like a candy coated message. You know, it's an interesting way for you to get to take your medicine. It's like, oh my God, that giant trash heap over there is talking. And at the end of the episode, you're like, oh, I learned something about compost piles. Like that was Fraggle Rock. And like, you know, and there's a whole thing with the Doozers and like minorities and what would you say? Like not subcultures, but like sub social standard groups that like other echelons of society like just like completely dismiss. And you
not
see that
white people.
Right. Well, it's not white people, and you see that carry over to Dinosaurs with the mammals.
Right, right.
which is really, you know, and again, this hits all the Henson, you know, keys, like, just, like, one after another after another. Robbie being a stoner, you know, just, like, because when you first watch the show, you're like, oh, Robbie's Bart, and then, dumb, exactly what you said, you were watching, you're like, no, the baby is Bart.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, Robbie gets to be the author's surrogate, which is kind of clever.
I hate that baby. I hate it.
Oh,
yeah, it's pretty awful.
I can't. I just can't handle it. It brings me. It immediately takes me back to being 8 years old and going to school and having people do those lines.
The catchphrases. And, like,
it's a nightmare. It was terrible. Like that. I mean, I get like the joke, but the joke kind of like, because of the family friendly nature of the show, the joke kind of gets lost because. Then everyone just – they did exactly what – I don't know. Maybe they wanted
it. They wanted to make money.
Yeah.
They wanted to make money, and they did. Well, they made a ton of money.
Like you said,
for four seasons.
That's absolutely – a lot of people were like, I'm surprised it lasted that long. And the other thing we haven't talked about yet was Henson died a year before the show went on the air.
Yeah.
And I don't know –
he probably saw the pilot and it killed him.
They say it was the flu. It was actually the pilot. Nobody knows what I'm referencing. Look up Jim Henson's death.
When we're older, we'll be able to tell kids growing up, or our kids will be like, you know, you don't know what it's like. You didn't have to live through dinosaurs and the Rick James episode
you,
of the Chappelle Show.
You fucking asshole. No, you took my point. You took my habit right here. I was going to say, for our younger millennials who don't know what a catchphrase is or don't understand the nightmare that is a catchphrase, Dave Chappelle put the nail in the coffin with the Charlie Murphy Real Hollywood Stories episode of the Chappelle Show in 2004, I believe it was, with I'm Rick James, Bitch. And that was it. It killed it off. Not just because – I mean, yeah, it's funny, but I think everyone grew up – listen, it was a post-9/11 world at that point too, so we were changing as a society.
Everyone,
as a species.
Always know where you are.
Yep.
We were ready to laugh.
But yeah, so for our younger millennials out there who don't know, I mean, like, every show – tried to have a catchphrase that was, again, the hook. That was your, you know, this show has a conceit. You're like, okay, it's dinosaurs and they talk, whatever, that's fine. And the baby is the cute thing. Like, a lot of people reference the music video that they made to accompany the show and how that even put fun at MTV at the time. And that's fine. Everything was doing that. There was media was much more centralized. So when people were trying to get the audience's attention, they had to yell as loud as possible. Now you're yelling and out into the void. Nobody's listening. Media's decentralized. You know, there's no way for you to raise the awareness of your show unless there's a ground roots movement for it. You know, there's no winning sitcom out there right now that has a catchphrase. Bazinga was never a catchphrase. I only know Bazinga.
What was Bazinga from?
That's from the show
Big Bang Theory.
The only reason
I was going to bring that up, Mike, because that's the last one. That or the most recent one, and it didn't even really catch on.
It didn't catch on, and that's why it's notable.
For the most part, our demographic doesn't watch that show. I don't know anyone that watches that show.
Yeah.
I know a couple people. But anyway.
It went on for 12 seasons.
And that's fine. It's in the beginning, speaking of toxic, that show was toxic to a culture. But, like, I felt as though – and that's the whitest fucking shit I've ever said. But, like
– yeah, that's pretty
toxic
white.
To geek culture. But I mean, but as it went on, it's harmless and it's whatever. But, Dom, it's – man, we're on the same fucking wavelength, man. First Rick James, now this. It's just that the Bazinga thing, the only reason I even remembered it or why it's notable is because it really didn't catch. And I remember seeing people with shirts with it, and I was like, nah, stop trying to make it happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's where that shirt came from, and I never knew what that was. And I never gave a fuck enough to be like, I wonder what that shirt is, and I should look it up. I never cared.
Right, because you're watching something else. Like, you know, back in the early 90s, it was, you know, not only was there not competition from hundreds of channels and and video on the internet and everything, but, like, all you had to do was compete for your time slot against a couple of other networks. So if you have Elmo Dinosaur saying, I'm the baby, gotta love me, the mama, then not the mama was the one I always remember.
Not the mama was so stupid. That whole show is so, so fucking stupid.
Here, wait, hold on.
I hate it.
It's not, though.
It's not stupid.
I actually liked this pilot. I really liked this episode.
I like the show. In general, too. I really do. But hold on. Josh, you'll love this. Because Josh, I know you know my parents a little bit better than Dom does, but the catchphrase from this show was so pervasive, and it stuck so much in people's minds. I mean, I would say even more so than any of Bart's catchphrases ever, like "eat my shorts" or "cowabunga, dude." Like, you know, yeah, whatever.
I had a slap bracelet that said "cowabunga, dude." So yeah. I don't know, Mike.
Don't have might
be wrong. Because when that became a catchphrase, the writers for that show stopped having Bart say those things.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. And "don't have a cow, man." And then they did an episode about catchphrases, which is the genius of early Simpsons.
It's
episodes.
Such a great episode.
Yeah. Oh, it's yeah. so good. But so
only I may dance.
Oh, dude, Conan on that episode. I think Conan wrote that episode too. But. Josh, so like that catchphrase, "I'm the baby, gotta love me," was stuck so much that my parents say it about my little sister still to this day, who is she's 28 years old. And my dad, when he calls my little sister the baby, not because she's the baby out of three of us, in reference to dinosaurs, and she goes, "That's the baby, gotta love her," or "I'm the baby, gotta love me," when he's making fun of her.
Why?
It stuck. Man, Rick James, bitch.
The Seedorfs are with along with America.
We're good.
Like, your family's un-American.
No, we're the most American.
Dude, that's why you're un-American. Yeah, the most American families are the un-American families.
You said it twice, and I just wanted to bring it up real quick.
Go ahead, yeah.
Kevin Clash does the voice of the dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's get into the voices. So we got, so Kevin Clash is Elmo, and to anybody who's a big Henson fan, you'll know that prior to, I mean, he had been Elmo since the 80s, I guess. Maybe the late 70s. No, the 80s. That's when they invented him. That's right. And the other monsters or whatever they're called on Sesame Street.
The world was ready for a baby.
You can see Kevin Clash on that documentary, Being Elmo, I think it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see him in court when he's being sued.
I knew it. I knew you were going there. Yep. Kevin Clash's personal life aside, what's interesting, you know, and Elmo is another thing. That gained traction in the 90s, the end of an era, the catchphrase, the "Tickle Me Elmo" doll in the late 90s. But Kevin Clash, prior to this, I just remember hearing his voice in a lot of like late 80s or rather 80s Jim Henson Muppet movies, like The Dark Crystal and Labyrinth and stuff like that. You'll hear his voice everywhere, but I obviously everybody knows him forever as Elmo. And now you know him as the baby from Dinosaurs. We're sorry. Stuart Penkin plays Earl. Now, Stuart Penkin is a character actor who is in every single movie in the 90s. I mean, every one of them. Every movie that was made. Dude, Basic Instincts would always sticks out in my mind. For other reasons, too. But if you IMDb him, there's a great documentary called That Guy from That Thing, which is a documentary about character actors and like trying to make it and all. And Stuart Penkin's a great example of an incredibly recognizable voice and face for an actor whose name you otherwise don't know. And so he plays Earl Sinclair, the main character of the show. And then we have Jessica Walter as Fran, who everybody knows from Archer and from Arrested Development.
Yep.
Uh-huh. But Jessica Walter has been working in Hollywood longer than the Teamsters. I mean, she was in Play Misty for Me, which is a phenomenal movie.
She was in Way Down East.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was a fetus.
Nobody knows what that movie is.
She Jessica Walter is 75. She couldn't have been in Way Down
East. I would still have sex with her.
She was the baby in Way Down East. She was the baby.
The ice sheet.
The ice sheet baby.
Yeah.
And then Charlene is played by Sally Struthers, who is from All in the Family. And most of our audience will probably know as voicing a lot of characters in Disney shows in the 90s. Probably most notably Rebecca Cunningham on Tailspin, another great show.
And from the infomercials starring herself.
If you'd like to, if you'd like to know more about what Sally Struthers spoke about, please call. Dude, that'll forever be in my head too.
Oh my god!
Those infomercials.
Read the book,
dude. You gotta look up Sally Struthers' '90s infomercials. They're fantastic. But there are a couple other. And the guy who does Robbie's voice is like a nobody. But there were a couple other familiar voices. That's terrible to say. I hope he's listening to this and hangs himself. There were a couple other familiar voices from prolific actors, including Sherman Helmsley as the boss. Christopher Maloney does a recurring character on the show, too, and all, from SVU and now Veep.
Oh, yeah.
I love Christopher Maloney. He's great. I love him as Freak Show in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Dude, he's great.
He's great.
He's also in the second one. He's a similar but different character. I think he's the KKK guy.
Do you know what movie he's in? Part two of that movie you already named.
But he plays a different character.
Dingus.
He plays a different character.
Boom! boom, podcast over.
Shots fired.
That syndication station will be back never again.
So I think two extra things to note about this show, one about the characters, one about the formula, and I think them I'd like to discuss some themes with you guys before we get into listener comments.
Yes.
And maybe we can even talk about what happens in the episode, but I guess we will through the listener comments.
Yeah. I don't know. They're dinosaurs.
It was a half hour long. In a cool twist to the naming of the characters, and obviously creative on the writer's behalf, the characters' last names are all the names of oil companies.
Oh, really?
Really?
Fucking creepy, yeah.
That's...
Oh, wow.
I never... Okay.
And if you don't know... If y'all don't know how fossil fuels work, go to school. Go back to school. Learn yourself some. Yeah. Science class, well, bitches.
And drop the bomb. Mike, drop the bomb right now, what this show's about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this show is about environmentalism. And about corporate... It's about corporate irresponsibility, but I think specifically this show is about climate change. Yeah, and it's about absolutely. Climate change 20 years earlier than this year. I mean, all right. I'm gonna get up on – get ready. I'm stepping up on the soapbox. One foot
here,
up.
Here we go.
Goes the other one. Okay, ready? This show discussed a ton of really interesting themes. Mm-hmm. But most notably, and what resonates the most with me, and I don't know about the two of you, but – when we were growing up, all we ever heard about through movies, through school, was about how we were ruining the environment, or that the environment was already ruined, that this call to action for environmentalism had already been going on for 20 years, since the 70s, since the late 60s, early 70s,
yeah.
and nobody had done anything about it. Yeah. And movies like Ferngully and all this stuff like reinforced this idea that the rainforest would be gone, which it's not, and it's the polar ice caps would melt, which they are.
Yeah.
So,
and then we got that Killer Bees movie.
Dude, there was the Killer Bees movie. So what we when I grew up there were three things that were going to happen in my lifetime. This is what I got told. This was the way culture saturated me as a child. The Russians were going to invade or we were going to have a nuclear war. So that didn't happen yet. Oh, cause, like I thought we were in the clear from that ever having had happened.
Yeah, but now we're back.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks have been real interesting. So for those of you who are too young to remember what the Cold War was,
get ready.
Because it's really fucking awesome. And I mean that as sarcastically as possible. It gives you a good villain for all your movies but and video games.
We got Rocky IV. We got Red Dawn. We got
Red Dawn.
2010, I guess.
We got Command & Conquer Red Alert.
Oh, boom! Yeah. War Games.
War Games, yeah.
The Cold War, for the little bit of it that we were alive and aware that it was going on, was horrible. And now now Russia's like... And I'm not blaming them, or I am, I don't know, whatever. Now it's like, oh, well, you can't use our rockets anymore. And here we go, all over again.
Here we go again. Hey, well, that's good, though. We'll make our fucking own rockets again. Like we'll shoot them
at you, goddammit.
Yeah.
So we grew up. So that
USA.
Was, USA. America.
Do steroids. Watch wrestling. Drink this drink. Eat this fast food.
So that was the one thing. The second thing we grew up with that we were being told was like, a meteorite hasn't hit the Earth in a long time. We're way overdue statistically. And that happened last year. So that's okay. I mean, it blew up in the atmosphere.
A couple of them happened. There was a couple, right? There was the one in Russia.
I count that one. That's the one I count. That's the one you count.
Yeah, it's the second
Dude, if that would hit the ground, that would have been it for the Earth for like our civilization, not our culture, our civilization would have changed for 15 years.
It would have been terrible.
And I'm no astrophysicist. But let me tell you, dude, it would have upended the Earth. It would have been like another...
But I've seen Cosmos.
It would have been a 9/11 that wasn't an inside job. Oh!
Damn!
Oh, shit.
And then, props to Russia for that dash cam video. We appreciate that.
If we ever,
but other than that, your ass is grass.
Yeah, if we ever Cold War again, how are we going to get our sweet dash cam vids?
It's funny, right?
Like, even if they try to drum up that whole USA thing, for the most part, it wouldn't resonate because people are too smart now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the internet's a really powerful tool in making people not dumb, which is wonderful. So, The other thing too, and all in equal measure, making them more dumb. So,
in different ways.
The third thing was that the climate was going to change. They didn't call it climate change then. They
called it global warming.
Global warming. That was because they had discovered the hole in the ozone layer. It was over Antarctica, and that was if y'all don't know about that, go take a look at that sometime and never sleep again. That was all we got as little kids. Was there's a hole in the sky. And that, it's over, the sky. We ruined the planet forever, is what they told us. And I know that that's the, you know, is there alarmism there? Yeah, sure, whatever. You know, the science, et cetera, is that fine. Whatever, that's all fine. But when I was a kid, when I was 10 years old, it was, there's a hole in the sky. It's over the largest ice sheet in the world, or the second largest, or yeah, largest ice sheet in the world. And it's going to flood the whole planet. And we got movies like Waterworld.
Which was stupid, right. Because that's not what the ozone does. The ozone doesn't make the heat not go in.
There's going to be too much water.
Yeah.
It was, but...
Write that script, boy.
Dude, the nightmare scenario that came out of that, though, was the deluge scenario in SimCity. I mean, my cities kept getting flooded because of goddamn global warming. It was terrible.
Walking eye.
Yeah, walking
eye.
I take it back. That hasn't happened yet, thank God. So, so now we're, let me be on the soapbox for 3 seconds, and we'll bring it back to dinosaurs. So...
Mm-hmm.
So climate change has happened, and
we have hurricanes now in Pennsylvania.
If you don't believe it, or you're still believing that false science that's been put out there that the global warming isn't a thing, Philadelphia becomes Hoth once a year.
Yes,
now.
It does.
And it is May. It is 100 in LA, and there are 6 wildfires occurring.
Yes, there are.
Right now. There was a drought this winter. This state's gonna burn bad.
It's terrible, and I'm sure everywhere. It's empirical. The denialists. I don't know how to say that correctly. They're all paid. Yeah, whatever. I mean, we can all get on this week with John Oliver. This week is that what's called This Week with John Oliver or something like that.
Last week with
Yeah, last week with John Oliver. Yeah. They did a really good job of illuminating that point for those who are in the dark about it. But climate change happened to the point where and Vice did a really good footnote in a segment on their show on HBO about it that sort of like passed everybody by. When Sandy happened, right? You know, when Hurricane Sandy came, which was a nightmare for a thousand different reasons. The one thing that was sort of overlooked because it was just a collateral damage thing was Tribeca, and like the lower third of Manhattan was under 3 feet of water.
Yeah, because it used to be where the garbage was.
it's
a fucking landfill.
Because
and they were just
landfill.
Like, fill it in. Just fill it the fuck in, guys.
And because it's
drainage? Whatever.
It's an island that's already sinking. And it's sinking in the idea that, like, Niagara Falls is receding. I mean, in that kind of sinking. But
it's because of all those heavy-ass skyscrapers.
It's because the person's on it. They're too many persons. But, and then the part that, like, we made... was like, you know, it's really powerful? Nature. So
That's where the World Trade Center was and is again. They were like, we need more land. So they were like, all right, what do we do? I don't know. Just get some dirt and like fill in the fucking water. Just make the water be land.
And so why is that important? It was just a storm surge. It's like, yeah, that's interesting. But when water levels rise as much as 6 feet, that's it. I think it's just 6 feet, which is what they say the next 5 years it's going to be happening. I mean, it's not going to happen in 5 years. It's happening over the next 5 years.
Yeah, it's slowly going to happen.
Lower Manhattan's just going to be uninhabitable.
Yep.
And
see you later.
And you're going to
no more Tribeca Film Festival.
You're going to lose the Lower East Side of what, the third most populous city in the world.
Yeah.
And to a phenomenon that people say isn't happening.
Isn't happening.
That we haven't had scientific evidence of for the last 40 years. You know, there's this really interesting article I read about how it's probably the most important scientific discovery. Because when they started to discover climate change was happening, it was a way for us to actively prepare ourselves for our demise. Or at least mm-hmm. for a civilization-changing event. Like when we eradicated smallpox, et cetera, et cetera. So like... Yeah. So here is this goofy television show. I'm bringing it back, fellas.
We all kind of make fun of it for its cheapness, its catchphrases and stuff like that. But they had a lot of strong, important messages in the show. Mm. And if you've seen the finale, it lived with you forever. And it has lived with me forever. Because I remember watching that and being like, I don't want to spoil it because maybe we should watch it.
We should. But, we should just skip ahead to the last episode.
I agree.
We will. We're literally going to bookend this show.
There's 60 episodes in this series. There are two or three episodes I would think of maybe we could watch, including the finale. But we could watch the finale first. Dom, real quick, before you get to your point, I say finale ALF double feature. Dinosaurs finale.
Oh my god, yes. We'll do a special episode, double feature.
Double heartbreaking feature. So I'm sorry, go ahead. You were saying about the finale.
But we make fun of this show, and a lot of people, you know, it seemed like on the comments people really didn't like this show because the characters are unlikable. But, and this is a sidebar real quick, to be honest, my dad was kind of like that guy. He was kind of that guy. Yeah. He was loud. He wanted things his way. He was very childish. Not to beat up my dad too much. I love my dad. But anyway, moving on. This show would never exist on television today.
Yeah, no.
Unless it was a kids program. It would never appear in prime time.
Absolutely.
And advertisers would not allow this show to come on, to be so preachy. And like Cosmos exists now. And Cosmos is about as far as we're going to get as far as a show that's like, hey, everybody, wake up. Shit's going down.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Yeah.
Because nowadays, there's too much like, oh, people don't want to get depressed. People don't – we can't be throwing this in people's faces because television is receding.
Yeah.
The audience – who has cable?
Smaller.
Three adults here. Who has cable?
Not me.
Who has cable television pays for it?
Not me.
Not one of us.
Nope.
And I pose that question to you as the audience as well. How many of you guys pay for cable, comes out of your bill, and it's something you wanted? You said, I have to have cable.
Yeah.
You weren't looped in on some like deal to save you money.
Right. Well, or it wasn't bundled with internet access.
That's what I'm saying.
Right,
that's
just to show that like networks, that subscribers are still up. Keep making the stupid shows. Right.
And this is a real important thing because now we have, and I'm sorry if you're listening to this at a later date, but this is something that's occurring right now. We have the FCC saying, hey, yeah, we're going to get rid of net neutrality. We're going to let the cable companies who have been making money, just crazy amounts of money this whole time, they have the internet now and they still want to make money. And they're really pushing for this because TV is going away. And shows like this can't be on TV because they're not going to make enough money.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right,
shows that are inherently good, they're canceling. I mean, you made the joke earlier, Dom, like 75 shows were canceled from NBC last year.
Absolutely. Community is a great example. Yeah. I'm sorry to date this episode once more, but Community was just officially canceled the other day.
Right.
And that has a huge audience, but that audience does not pay for cable.
Right. Right.
They don't care.
It's Dom, I don't think that you went off topic. I mean, I want to dovetail it back in. Thank you, listeners, for telling me it was dovetailing. I think it was a groan tail. But here, I'm taking this directly from the Wikipedia only because their list is way more comprehensive than mine could have ever been. Themes from topical issues featured in Dinosaurs include environmentalism, endangered species, women's rights, sexual harassment, objectification of women, censorship, buckle up, this is a list, civil rights, body image, steroid use, allusions to masturbation in the form of Robbie doing the solo mating dance, drug abuse, racism in the form of the disputes between the two-legged and four-legged dinosaurs, peer pressure, rights of indigenous people in the form of dinosaurs interacting with cave people, corporate crime, government interference in parenting, allusions to homosexuality and pacifism. Most notably, and this was the part they brought up, and I loved this episode when I was a kid.
Doesn't the one guy not eat meat or anymore?
That was it. That was it. It was the episode I loved the most as a kid, and I didn't know why. It's because I'm way ahead of my time. But like in the episode, I never ate for my father, which is a phenomenally neat episode too. It just shows like how great the subtext and who the show was really targeted at. Robbie decides to forego being a carnivore.
Mm-hmm. Simpsons did it.
Right. He eats vegetables, and then other characters, since he becomes a vegetarian, other characters call him gay.
Yep.
They say that, so they call him gay and they call him a communist.
Yep.
Because
Which is what happened to me when I stopped eating meat for 2 years.
Not because
try expressing yourself at all in high school or middle school that is not the status quo.
Oh my god!
You're a real jerk.
Yep. You're a real bad guy.
I wanted to say a word, but I don't want to say it on
syndication station where we might have sponsors
because I don't want that word to live in that way anymore.
Yep. Right.
It's what's so fantastic is the show's writing did a brilliant job of the subtext, I'll say, of the writing did a brilliant mm-hmm. job of the false correlation between lifestyle changes and abnormal or quote unquote abnormal behavior and culturally subvertive behavior. So mm-hmm. Robbie becomes a vegetarian. So then he's likened to someone who is not the same, doesn't have the same sexual preference as everybody else. So he breaks a natural norm, perceived natural norm of other people, right? Okay. And then he also is a communist because that is as divergent from the social norm as possible. It's right. it's anti quote unquote American anti.
Well, it's still what we do today.
It's
fucking
it's
same
not
thing.
It's yeah. it's not that it's being not vegetarian makes your sexual orientation change or that
right.
it makes you believe in a altruistic society where people look out for one another. It just right. makes you as far again quotes
you're
around this.
Different.
Stuff, I think
you're
different. Yeah, you're different as far away from what people perceive to be normal or natural right. as possible. They're like, this is the way it is. That's yep. so clever. It's so clever. And it's show with talking animatronic dinosaurs, you know? Like,
yeah,
man.
Except.
I think that's really great. And yeah. it's a shame that we don't have these shows on the air today. And I got to say, the more I talk about dinosaurs, the more I actually really love dinosaurs. Because get this. This first episode is so rad because Earl goes on his walk, the Dark Night of the Soul, in this episode. Mm-hmm. And he is in the woods and he's like, oh, this I'll do it how my ancestors did it.
Yeah.
The past, right?
Right.
And then at the end of the episode, that's bookmarked with a little gag of the humans. He'd be like, dinosaurs are going to be around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they look out and they see the humans and they're so fucking stupid. You know, what are they going to do?
Right.
And they're like, oh no, dinosaurs are going to be around forever. And that's us, right?
Yeah.
That's us sitting there. We are in
yep.
this transitional period where we are saying goodbye to old ideas. And this happens all the time.
Yeah,
we're saying goodbye to old ideas and we're accepting a new way of life. And just today I watched a clip about somebody talking about, you know, with that whole football player being drafted
right.
and him kissing his boyfriend
yeah.
on television.
Yeah.
And this woman getting upset that people had to apologize for saying negative things about homosexuality
mm-hmm.
in regards to that story. And it's like, no, like when people say like, that's going to be the end of us. Like if we do these things, that'll be the end of us. That'll be the end of you as like a thought.
It'll be the end of your way of thinking.
Yeah, just
your way of life because we don't live that way anymore.
Right,
listen,
but what people don't understand.
Sorry, go ahead, Josh. Yeah,
no, I was gonna say that what really bothers me about the people like that is like, man, you wake up every day and you think different shit. Like,
right?
Why, like, why can't you just like? For this
remember that
one
time
day.
You stopped putting sugar in your coffee?
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah
dude.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you're going to hang your whole life on like the idea that like you eat meat, you know,
right.
and then like somebody else doing that like rocks you to the core, like
right.
how established is your identity? Like how certain are you of your values?
You're
in
a
anything?
Fucking boring person. If that makes you up, like oh fucking,
oh my,
you
God.
Know, some like I don't know, just kiss a dude once in a while.
What I thought was the,
give him a
what,
kiss.
What,
give
what
a
I
kiss.
Thought the best part about the Michael Sam thing. Well, that's his name, right? Michael Sam. I'm saying it right.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. The best thing about that wasn't that he nobody taught that when it happened nobody cared that he kissed his boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
What people cared about the next day was that nobody made a big deal about it, and then that was what was made a big deal about. And so
yeah.
it's
bizarre.
It's bizarre, but it also it's encouraging because it shows
it's nice. Yeah, it is.
We're taking that next step, but Dom, you're absolutely right. This so what this show showed what the series showed us as far as environmentalism and climate change, just to put a book or just to tie that loose end up, was that like that the deforestation of that these companies were doing for needless expansion, because they again in this episode they talk about how things were and how things
right.
are going to be, and they're going to be better now, and they're more progressive now, and they're, you know, and everything, like so they're destroying their natural environment. It's accelerating the ice age, and it's accelerating the evolution of other species, and therefore rocking all the institutions that they've you know built their whole society on, like to the ground. Like it's just pulling the pillars out from under. And so, how sturdy of a foundation is it in the first place? And so,
right.
you know, it's just a nice little. And it's very interesting to look in hindsight, like now almost 25 years later, you know, from
and
when the show came out, like a quarter of a century later. It's like hey, man, you know, I like, okay, earlier if you were listening and, like, you were like, oh, it's a big deal that, like, New York's going to be under 3 feet of water. It's like, no, their entire nation's disappearing underwater. I'm just saying New York because right. that's, like, the epicenter of Western culture and a good place for everybody to, like, look and be like, hey, if it can happen there,
right?
You know? I mean, it's going to be funny when, like, Disney World's underwater. Then all of a sudden, I think everybody's going to wake
it'll
up.
Be, then everybody will wake
you know, yeah. Venice is being flooded hundreds of days of the year. It used to be a couple dozen. Now it's like upwards of 200 plus days a year that Venice is flooded. Yeah. Venice, a city that has existed for millennia. It pretty soon, yeah. tourists won't be able to go to it anymore because it won't exist.
Yep. And, like Detroit. And so, it'll be like Detroit.
Yeah. It'll be just like Detroit.
Detroit doesn't exist yeah. anymore.
Well, it's funny to see this. In this year, we are seeing... We are really seeing the extremes of it. You guys experienced it with that awful winter that you had, and I'm experiencing it with California being on fire a lot.
Not only that, man. Like, I don't know. I'm 31 years old. Up until 2 years ago, I had lived through zero hurricanes. In 2 years, I lived through two hurricanes and a tropical storm. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. Insane.
Can I have a Dom moment? Can I have a total Dom moment real quick? Everybody laughs at Al Gore. Because he's so fucking ahead of he's ahead of everybody. He's ahead of the curve. Yep. Everybody, he put out the movie Inconvenient Truth. Everybody laughed when the next year there weren't the hurricanes that he not had predicted, but the movie foresaw happening. So, so it makes him a liar. Yep. And now all of a sudden,
because it didn't happen right away.
And now all of a sudden everybody's like, ugh. Just like when Al Gore invented the internet, which Al Gore didn't invent the protocol, but Al Gore was as instrumental in creating the internet as anybody was. Mm-hmm. And everybody laughed at him and elected the other guy instead. Yep. And then what happened?
Because it was branded a certain way, just like global warming was,
right,
and then
exactly.
it was put out there to be like, hey guys, this is a joke. Laugh at it. Mm-hmm. Look at these fucking idiots.
Exactly.
You're so smart.
See, it's my dumb
moment. When you tell someone who's stupid that they're smart, they get really empowered.
Yeah, they
love it.
Yeah, they do, dude. So that, Tom, I'm sorry.
I want to get this in here.
Yeah, sure. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I apologize.
I watched this week's Cosmos episode.
Yeah,
which had a lot to do with energy, and eventually it's talking about the end of us,
mm-hmm. right.
The extinction, and Neil deGrasse Tyson has a great line where he says the dinosaurs couldn't see the asteroid coming.
Right.
What's our excuse?
Yeah.
Boom.
And we're I really think we're going to get to a point because there's no stopping it at this point.
Right.
Right.
That was all the cautionary tales that we were fed as children, and all the warning signs that we were given was like, listen, we can change, we can reverse it. Like, the damage is done, sure, and maybe, you know, obviously it's snowballed now, no pun intended or whatever, and it's things are inevitable. Like the ice sheets are going to break, the sea levels are going to rise. So what can we do to stem the tide? Again, no pun intended. What can we do to stop it now? Like, how can we prevent it from getting worse? There are ways to,
he talks about that in the previous Cosmos episode to reverse the greenhouse effect. Mm-hmm. But before anything changes, before we stop using oil and stuff, a lot of people are going
to
die.
Yeah.
And something crazy bad
is going to happen. It's going to be really shitty when you can't eat food anymore.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I don't
you,
know
just,
about you, but I like to eat food every day.
I love it.
It's
going to
be really shitty when you can't drink water anymore.
Yeah, when there's no more water. Yeah. Dude, like I said, I don't want to sound like a crazy person, but y'all should be listening to Al Gore. That's all I'm saying. Al Gore and watch the series Dinosaurs. They call
it. And Cosmos. Cosmos is good.
Cosmos is great, man.
Do you want to make more money? Of course we all do. So find out how easy it is to train at home for a better career. Just get a pencil and paper right now and write down this toll-free number. There's absolutely no obligation and no salesman will visit you. At international correspondence schools, more than 10 million men and women have trained for job promotions and new careers without setting foot inside a classroom.
All right, so let's try to put this train wreck back on the tracks here. It's something that we've danced around a little bit and something was brought up in the comments, so I just wanted to make a note of it before we get into listener comments from the subreddit and the fantastic discussions that we're going to have from it. The Simpsons episode Black Widower references... Yeah. the similar family structure between dinosaurs and their show, when Lisa says, these talking dinosaurs are more real than most real families on TV. Homer's like, look, Maggie, they have a baby too. And then Bart says, it's like they saw our lives and put them right up on the screen. Which I thought was good. I mean, this is, you know, obviously there's a blueprint. The Honeymooners might be like the, yeah. I guess it's like, that's the first TV family. It's the Honeymooners with kids, or it's the Flintstones with teenagers. Earl is Ralph Cramden or Fred Flintstone, and he even has a best friend. Earl. He has Roy, who is the
Bing Crosby voiced kind of guy.
He's like that
character type has disappeared, by the way, and I love that character.
I do too. It's Ed Norton. It's Art Carney as Ed Norton, which is awesome.
He's a little taller than the main character.
Right. He's not Barney. Right. Like Ralph Cramden was fat and a loaf and an idiot. And even though Ed Norton was like a little slow on the take and everything, he was real cool. He was thin. He had the young. He had the sexy young wife and everything.
Yeah. Barney Rubble was the same thing. Yeah.
Barney. Was an idiot.
He was really great in Fight Club.
he was. Hey there, Freddy Boy. All right, so hey there, Tyler. Boy.
Tyler Durden.
So man, we were really all over the place with this one. I love it. I love this show.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on.
You're watching. We're watching dinosaurs. Everybody's like, "Man, the silly dinosaurs!" And we're like, "Yo, fucking climate change!" Am I right? Hour and a half long episode, dude.
Yeah, let's this got pretty this. Political. Dude, I usually don't do that, but
dude,
yeah.
It's all right. As Satch Drakes would say, "Man, got real." There it is.
It got real,
dude. Man, this podcast. I fucking love doing this podcast with you. Our listeners make it like twice as fun as you guys. I should just do it with them and say, "You guys are fired. Get out. Get out.
Oh, all right.
But I'm on the show. I'm on the picture.
Oh, Tom. Before we go out in our last segment, you got to ask people about the picture. But we'll come back to that.
Oh yeah.
We'll everybody make a mental note. Okay. Comments. Here we go. Age of Boy.
I wanted to read one.
Josh, go ahead.
I think you kind of started reading his comment from before, but Crazy Ed Boy said, people sure loved dinosaurs back in the 90s. Not this show, but the idea of actual terrible lizards. I think it kind of started with Jurassic Park being a huge hit. It started before that, would say, because when I was a little kid, I wanted to be an archaeologist because of Indiana Jones and because of dinosaurs. Yep. And that was in the mid-80s when I was a little kid. So,
we got the technology to show what dinosaurs were really like in the 90s. So there was a lot of dinosaur stuff because it was fascinating. And it made money, especially with Jurassic Park.
They made dinosaur shit out of everything. I have a VHS tape with Fred Savage that's like a claymation dinosaur, like after-school special thing.
Where he has
to write a paper about dinosaurs. Yep. And he doesn't know what to write. So he goes and talks to all these dinosaurs. And it's awesome.
Dom, tell Josh about our favorite Claymation Christmas special.
Oh, dude. Hosted by two dinosaurs. I can't do his voice. I can do his voice if I hear it, but Will Vinton's Claymation Christmas is hosted by two dinosaurs.
It is. Yes. A Tyrannosaurus Rex and a Triceratops. It's supposed to be Thurston Howell. He's like, up next is a wonderful segment. And then the other guy's like, oh, it's pirouetting penguins and walruses. And that's the
whole... Dude, you do a good impression of that guy. Yeah. I do a pretty good impression of the other guy. Let's get together next Christmas.
Let's do it.
Let's get together next Christmas.
Someone get the goddamn California Raisins on the phone immediately. But yeah, there when I was a kid, I remember one of my first toys was a Brontosaurus back then before they stopped existing. But
I know exactly what you're talking about. Was he blue?
No, it wasn't. They made
a lot of Brontosauruses, Jeff.
did you have those dinosaurs that were made out of like kind of
sponges?
That,
yes.
But they had like rubbery plastic, and on the bottom they had a little dinosaur logo, and they had little cavemen with big heads. Do you guys remember playing with them? Somebody fucking knows what I'm talking about. I still have them. I'll show them. I'll put a fucking picture of them up on the syndication station.
You can't stop me. I'll do whatever I want.
I got a phone camera.
To, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter to find those photos.
Hashtag dinosaurs.
I think paleontology was like in full swing in like the 70s, wasn't it? That's what kind of like – and again, it sort of just got – I mean when Spielberg was going to do Jurassic Park, it was going to be go motion. It was going to be claymation, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they were ready to go. Yeah, like, make the real dinosaurs.
Hold, brothers.
Hold. George Lucas is like, Steven, I have these computers, and
My neck waddle says that they'll make great dinosaurs.
And I'm Steve Jibs.
Steve Jibs.
Hopefully the Tyrannosaurus Rex jaw doesn't cut open my goiter and drown us all in cancer juice.
I like to knit at Starbucks.
Hey, just wait until I use this technology for evil in the special editions of Star Wars. Yeah, you like dinosaurs, don't you, you little pieces of shit?
It was me.
You see what I'm gonna do to the cantina scene. Oh, wait, I guess
there's
John
dinosaurs
Palace
in that.
Is the infamous one.
No, there's dinosaurs in front of that.
The cantina scene has an infamous Han. But anyway, let's keep going. Let's keep going.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. And Coit, that was for you. I gave Coit a little secret reference there in the episode. I'm sure he caught it. Okay,
oh,
so
you guys love each other.
Because dude, you know what I found out the other day? Real quick side. This is for another one of our listeners. Coit and Kevin Braun, same person. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Ajaboy, I hope I'm saying that right. He said, casting a mixed race couple was a pretty ballsy move during the late Cretaceous period. Dude,
that's
best comment.
Funny.
Best comment. Right away. Shut it down. Is it over after that?
I gave him the rim shot.
That's funny.
Dude, the rim shot's great. Hey, Josh Rob says, I vaguely remember watching this show as a kid. The only episode that really sticks out in my mind was the episode where Robbie takes steroids and gets super jacked. The puppetry and writing was so goofy. The PSA part of the show was rendered totally moot. It made me want to take steroids. So, I mean, you know, not a total loss on that episode right there.
I remember that episode and I never did steroids. So how about that?
Eat it, Josh Rob. Take that. Lone Sword said a major gripe that I couldn't just get around is the mouths of most of the characters. Charlene's lips weren't moving. The lip sync was just plain distracting. But his biggest issue with the show was the baby. It said it reminded him of Hot Topic, Invader Zim, lols, and that kind of random humor. And again,
That's like way after my time. I don't understand that reference.
I was going to say, I mean, Lone Sword, maybe you're one of the younger millennials I'm talking about here that missed the heyday of catchphrase television, thank God. And then he goes on to say, I get it's a sitcom. The baby fills the role of the one annoying character that spouts out the catchphrases and silly lines, but my God, is it grating.
I remember Invader Zim videos to MSI music. That's the only thing I remember about Invader Zim.
Well, Invader Zim is a good example of that on a much smaller scale because and Adventure Time even to that. Mathematical!
Yeah.
You know, there are some catchphrases.
Algebraic!
And that's they don't even say that much. That's from the pilot. Yeah.
Right, because we used to watch that pilot ad nauseum for years before.
Yeah, we loved it. I love that.
That was a great pilot.
We watched that pilot.
I remember seeing that and being like, oh my God.
This is a great show.
This is so good. I guess catchphrases still do exist on a much smaller scale, but there was, you know, excuse me. You know what that's from?
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda, the TV show.
No, it's not. That's a Steve Martin bit.
Oh, that's right.
Could I get a light? You know, you guys think you're so self-righteous. You know, he goes right into it.
That was a
cultural phenomenon from from a record.
But
it's still used today. The Looney Tunes, or rather Tiny Tunes would do it. Moving on.
No. It's a good point. I'd just like to say that Lone Sword, you know, it's funny because we, or I know that I specifically took issue when we were watching Night Gallery. What did I call it back then?
Spooky House Gallery.
I called it Night Something. I called it something stupid. But like about how the quality of the show. And a lot of people made comments about the lip syncing and whatnot. Listen, guys, you're spoiled. You know, it's a quarter century later. It's servos are smaller. They're quicker. But also, this was a pilot. It gets better later in the show.
But think about it. Like you're watching a cartoon. Like the lip sync in cartoons doesn't work all the time. Like sometimes the mouth, like if you really look at it, the mouth is just moving to fulfill like the illusion that's who's talking.
Know that in Community, and I heard Dan Harmon say this at Harmontown, Chevy Chase was so shitty on camera that they would have to cut in between his shots. In between his takes, in the middle of a sentence where the camera didn't break away. And they used a really neat editing technique on Avid. I think it's called Liquid Dissolve. But he says, you know, if you really look for it in Chevy Chase's scenes, you'll see stuff change in the background a little bit.
That's really interesting, man. I mean, you
but
know,
yeah,
it's,
so like it's, we have ways to hide it now. We
right,
have the technology
right. It's whatever the quality of the show is at the day. And while I understand that it can be distracting in Lone Sword, I'm not going to take you to task on this because he did say it's even though like the characters are a little tropey, he was impressed by the talent of all the talent involved with the making of the show, and most notably the voice actors. Josh, I think you make the absolute brilliant point that, and I will take to task two of everybody's favorite show. Internet, these are your favorite shows. Avatar The Last Airbender and Teen Titans. Both those shows are very subpar in quality in terms of animation. I mean, I would even say like first
well,
couple
that's
seasons
the,
of
that's
like,
the
Tiny
joke,
Teens.
Right, is that like Teen Titans especially is like, oh, look, it's like a manga.
Cool. Right, it's like,
and
oh, kawaii.
The first season of the Batman animated series.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
It's
yeah,
pretty
dude.
Bad.
But, yeah. You know, you can get past it. You can that's your suspension of disbelief in shows that are not live acted, you know? And if shows are live acted and they have terrible editing, you're probably me in the 70s. Okay, so Ostrich Man 13, he goes on to say, this is what he says. One, those Muppets are fucking terrifying. Two, that baby is totally not a dinosaur. It's E.T. And I just, to that, I wrote, my note to him was, welcome to Jim Henson.
Yeah.
Because that's whatever you're going to watch that Jim Henson makes is like, it's like, oh, Fraggle Rock. What the fuck are these things?
Dude, fucking Dark Crystal is horrifying.
Dude, it's horrifying. And just, but just Ostrich Man 13, just be thankful that you're a grown adult, I presume, watching the show and not a little kid, not a 10-year-old kid watching this. Because that's
you know why they're terrifying?
We were kids. We
Uncanny
were
Valley. It's Uncanny
show.
Valley.
No, because, well, okay, with dinosaurs, it's Uncanny Valley. With Dark Crystal, they were allowed to let the artists do their thing because it was a Henson production. Henson, like, I forget the guy's name, but I think he drew a comic called Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And I might be wrong, but there's the guy who did a lot of the original designs for this is like a, like, he was kind of a sci-fi artist, and he just drew, and I might be wrong on that too, but he would draw these great dinosaur panels and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So
that's
like,
awesome.
I don't know. Anyway, that's
no,
sidebar.
I, yeah, dude, no, that's what Henson, you know, it's, when you say Uncanny Valley, it's funny. I think that Henson's work always did a great job of bridging that by incorporating people in the suits. What is that called? In Henson production, it's called something. Our friend Sean Curran would know because he's a big Jim Henson.
He loves puppetry and puppets and stuff.
Like, so if you can't get past, you know, Sherman Helmsley, Triceratops, I can't ever remember his
which
name.
I think that's a beautiful shot, by the way.
Oh, I think
it was
great.
That whole scene
great.
Is great. It's brilliant.
And how about
it's
those
comedic.
Sets? And we didn't really get to talk about it because the message is really heavy-handed in this, but
how good are the sets?
The
They're
sets
so
are amazing.
Good.
A little too much fog in the house, but it's pretty amazing.
It's the Snoopy effect of like the trailer only being so big, and then when Earl goes inside,
it's bigger.
It's huge,
yeah.
And the
it's
Triceratops
great.
Is looming over.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of that 80s Land of Illusion video with those weird puppets.
Oh, my God, dude.
Those terrifying fucking puppets.
Oh, yeah, dude, that video used to creep the hell out of me.
Yeah, man, my cousin, like, couldn't. He'd have nightmares. He couldn't watch it.
Dude. So
he still does. He's 34.
It's creepy as shit, man. The Ronald Reagan puppet. Well, Nancy. Bubbles,
and he hits the button. He hits the button.
It kind of ties it all back, guys. We're talking about the Cold War.
Yeah, the Cold War. And that whole video is about nuclear war. So, but in those scenes, like if you can't get past the eye movements or the lip movements of those characters, when they cut outside, you have people in a wide shot in dinosaur suits where the articulation on the face doesn't have to be so exact. So, like, I think Henson's magic, and we keep on putting it on him. I'm sure it's more Jacobs than it was him at that point, but even though it was the Henson production company, did a good job of like bridging the gap for that. I think the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie I think it holds up. I think it looks great. There are some wacky shots and wacky editing or whatever, but for the most part of like the music but I mean, you know, I don't know, I think he does a great job of it's fucking magic, man.
Goody Two Shoes, Betty by Boo's time again. Good night, honey.
Sweet dreams, dear.
All right, now Fake Eric says, I love a show about a talking family or a family of talking dinosaurs that tackles real issues. Also, he's pretty sure it's Family Matters Dinosaur Edition.
Yeah.
Minus Right, right. And he says, mine is Steve Urkel, to which Coffee Sports replies.
Coffee Sports.
Coffee Sports for life. The Steve Urkel character is the baby. The annoying voice and delivers the catchphrase. And I think it's...
They were on right after each other. Like, yep. I think it was 8:30 was Family Matters. I think 9 o'clock was fucking Dinosaurs.
Which is interesting. They pushed Dinosaurs almost to the watershed. So even though it's in the family programming block a little bit later, maybe not for the kids.
Yeah, maybe.
Mike, I'm sorry to interrupt you here.
That's okay, Dom.
In the middle of the comments, but I have a prior engagement. We're on two different time zones. Things are crazy, guys. I'm on the West Coast. They're on the East Coast. I actually have a get-together I have to make it to.
A sex date.
It's a key party.
It's a key party with a wildfire in the mail.
I'm sorry. I'm having sex with a couple wildfires tonight, and they're pretty hot. I got to get going, but I will be back. Next episode. You guys finish reading these comments. Right. I'm going to get out of here.
All right. Have fun, Dom.
See you, Tom. Bye-bye, guys. Hey,
don't get lit on
keep
fire.
Keep on syndicating.
There it is.
See you later, Dom. Bye.
See you, guys. Dom.
Man, this is...
Do you have the AOL, door closed?
Weird.
Man, if you thought this show was like Mystery Science Theater 3000 before, we just had a character leave in the middle of an episode.
That's never happened.
That's the most MST3K shit ever, man.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. I guess keep reading the comments.
Go ahead. I'm over it. I'm already over it.
So welcome back to Syndication Station, the once weekly podcast where we don't have Dom on anymore. Oh man, we're going to make Dom listen to the podcast and he's going to listen to us talk about these comments, and then he can talk about those comments next episode.
Oh my god,
about that,
it's crazy. I'm looking up right now the schedule of of the TGIF.
The TGIF. While you do that, let me tell you about Blue Chelios and his comment.
Let me hear it.
All right. He said the story was kind of cliche in terms of middle class suburban family and the dad who hates his job and has a shitty boss. Mm-hmm. But the back story of the modern society that is new to these dinosaurs is really cool and sort of gives everything context and kind of feels like it makes the show a little bit more tongue-in-cheek, which I thought was very interesting. Even though they sort of mentioned it twice in the episode, I almost forgot about it until I read this comment.
Yeah.
That, like, it's like, oh, yeah, it is cliche, and here are all the tropes. All right. Except they're not cliches to the family. It's right. Like, you know, you're almost like, oh, yeah, here comes this episode again. What's the family going to do? It's like that family had never watched television before, dealt like with a family issue like that. But to these characters, these are new things.
My problem with that, and I said this earlier, my problem with that is it's so super saturated with that tongue-in-cheek kind of parody-ish thing. Like, it is kind of brilliant in a way, but then at the same time, it's a cash-in, and it's so clearly a cash-in.
It is a cash-in. It's Buena Vista. It was on ABC, so it's obviously a cash-in.
I looked it up. I was wrong.
No, you weren't.
Dinosaurs was before Family Matters.
Wrong.
So
incorrect. Well, Family Matters had Reginald Val Johnson on it. I don't know what you thought I was going to say. But
yeah, I don't either.
Zyzo1 says of the show, it's amazingly done. It's an amazingly done and well-written show that was a huge gamble. And he says, I know that if a show like this was on television today, it would get canceled after half a season to make room for, like, Keeping Up with the Kardashians season 56.
They did that. It was called Caveman.
Which I'll get to in a second. He goes, also, my brain imploded when they talked about their method of counting down years.
I don't remember that.
He said, I actually stopped the episode to think about it for 5 minutes and just nodded in my head and then continued watching. It's when Robbie comes in, and Robbie, who's like the stoner, he's the thinker. Obviously, he's like the very progressive, you know, the author surrogate of the show. He comes in and he's like, hey, you know, he's like, I just don't get numbers. Like, they don't make sense to me. And his dad's like, well, what's there to get? And he's like, we're in the year 6,000,003, but last year was 6,000,004. What are we counting down to? And the mom's like, maybe you asked too many questions. Dude, it's so good. It's so clever. I think what's interesting about this comment is that, and about the Caveman show, is that the Caveman show was about fish out of water. About other people seeing fish out of water. What's interesting about Zyzo's comment, I think there's another comment down here about that too, Yeah, it was DJ Pizza Bagel says, so DJ Pizza Bagel in the morning. So I really appreciate the work that went into this puppetry, but good lord, is it unsettling. Other than that, the show is weirdly normal. The dad is just, he's just a scaly John Goodman, Roseanne era, flannel wear a shirt,
right.
You know, slob and all. And I thought that he hit the nail on the head. You know, it's not a fish out of water story. It's a transposition for perspective on otherwise trite or pedestrian social commentary.
Right.
And it's that way, it's, again, it's a creative take. Zizo, Bucelios, they're all sort of saying the same thing. It's like, okay, so we've taken this norm, or rather even these cliches that like you would otherwise just throw away. Okay, yeah, right. He does the drugs and then he doesn't do the drugs or whatever.
Right.
But instead, or he becomes a vegetarian, they doesn't. And then
I'm
in your
so excited.
right. Like in your head, you're like, yeah, but vegetarians are weird. But on this show, everything's fucking weird. So when somebody's talking about being a vegetarian, you're like, wait a minute. Which is a god dong minute here. Like, you know,
I don't know. This show, I think that's part of the reason I never liked this show is because
that's interesting.
I never liked Roseanne. And I know Dom loves Roseanne and he's gone now forever, but I feel comfortable thinking, talking for him. But Dom loves Roseanne.
He does love Roseanne.
I never liked it because it's like, that's kind of like there's like shit in my life that was like that, and I was like, I don't want to watch this. I want to escape. I don't want to like see my life on television. And Dinosaurs, like, though the bit is coyed.
Is fucking put that in our heads.
That they're dinosaurs and get it because they're dinosaurs, like you said. Though that's the bit, it still makes me uncomfortable. It's still like there's parts like when Earl is like, I'm the man and where's my dinner? And it's like, it's like,
Wolf Rennie, where's my dinner? And so Eugene, has an interesting comment about that, which I'm going to get to in a second, but, I will agree with you in that. You know, for the most part, you're like, oh, it's fun, it's wacky, it's a cool world, it's an amusement ride. You know, I get to, not again with that metaphor, but just like sort of like, it's an attraction I get to go see or whatever. And then all of a sudden he's out in the woods and he has to have like real talk with like, you know, the weird Jewish stereotype lemur. I don't know, why did they do that? That was really weird. It's like, did you pick that up too? I don't know.
He was, because he's an accountant at the end.
So I know, and his nose Jewish. And everything. Man, that was... I'm getting cold sweats even saying it out loud.
in a way it's brilliant because of what they got away with and how silly it really all is, and it's a parody of that racial stereotype that you don't really pick up on when you're 8. Because I didn't even know what being Jewish was when I was eight.
Well, and he's from a persecuted sect who's being hunted and by other people and everything. And like and there's the whole segment about them being in the pots with like the bars on it. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my god, how deep does this rabbit hole go? And I'm like, or am I making it up because I have to do a podcast about it?
Exactly. Maybe we're just giving the show like a little too much credit. Maybe.
And that's I see your point. You know, Josh, I'd like to take a moment out here from these comments to say that I was pretty proud about this episode. I thought this episode was going to be 110%. Now with Dom gone, I'm afraid it's just going to have to be 100%.
Yeah, well, Dom's 10% contribution is really good. Let's not kid ourselves. He only contributes 10%.
If that he's lucky we let him contribute that much. But all I wanted to say is that, you know, we're having this really interesting conversation now again all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And where's Dom? Man, I'm sorry that we're
he's going to go see, like, fucking Godzilla or some shit. I don't know what he's doing.
I would apologize to our listeners, but man, and I hear it comes again with the guys. Guys, this is the best we could do. We're a day late and a dollar short already, and we lost a member of the show halfway through it. We're trying to get you the series as best we can in the best way possible, but
it's breaks, life. Breaks my heart. It breaks life my heart. Happens. Life happens.
Okay, back to the comments. Silver Ward says, I spent half the episode expecting Mr. Richfield to call me a hunky, and I think that's excellent. Sherman Helmsley is great.
That's great.
Sinclair, you honky, get in here.
That whole part is brilliant.
That's my favorite part.
That part was, like Dom said, the shot, like looking up at the desk and how big he is and his horns are like out of the camper. And then how just the writing of like the the comedy that goes on in that scene where he makes him say whatever he wants him to say by just, yeah.
It's like Looney Tunes. It's great. So now here's, it's funny, we're talking about Family Matters, and I mentioned Reginald Val Johnson because one of our favorite listeners, Carl Winslow, ate my dog. Carl Winslow, for those of you who don't know, is the main character from Family Matters, played by Reginald Val Johnson. Carl Winslow ate my dog left a super interesting comment. I have a giant asterisk next to it and everything. This was supposed to be a comedy show, right? Because it reminds me of when I saw a video on YouTube of a segment of The Big Bang Theory. with the laugh track removed.
Yeah.
The reminder that Jim Henson is dead at the beginning of the episode didn't really help matters either.
That's true.
Nor does the brief passing mention of Fran's miscarriages. And also the idea of the lemur or whatever, the mammal's missing / possibly dead family.
Yeah.
And you know what, Carl Winslow ate my dog? As interesting as I thought your comment was, this is not a but, as interesting as I thought your comment was, and as illuminating as it is to maybe the motivations for the writing and the ideas about their approaches to theme and a million other conversations that we could have that we've had before about the show, the meta show, the production of the show and everything. I'm sorry that really interesting comment sort of got lost in my whole environmentalism and climate change, diatribe or that thesis. I went on.
Your doctor, got your doctorate.
Thank you, Dr.
Sador.
Or as Dom would say, what do dinosaurs graduate to, Josh?
The Jurassic Park theme.
Announcing the class of 6,000,003 BC. That's for Dom. Now I'm speaking for Dom.
Robbie Sinclair.
But yeah, Carl Winslow and my dog, I think that's funny. I mean, I know what you're saying about having the laugh track removed. Could you imagine the show with a laugh track? Oh, God, it'd be the
It would have been terrible.
But I
agree. That's how I feel about the show. Look, if I made this show, if I was a part of the show, I would be proud of the show. I'd be like, it's a unique, very successfully, weirdly successful thing that happened in television. I just wouldn't watch it. But then again, if I didn't edit this show, I wouldn't listen to it. So.
Confession, I haven't listened to an episode of this show yet. I just banged into everything on my desk. I'm sorry. Oh my God. I have a new desk. It's very small and I'm very big. I'm like Mr. Richfield. Sinclair. Henderson. But yeah, it's funny. Yeah. You start off with like, not at the end of the episode, the beginning. Guys, remember Mr. Magic, Jim Henson? He's dead. And also, miscarriages. And there's nothing wrong with dark humor. I love...
Right, and there's nothing wrong with even talking about that stuff. Like, whatever.
Right,
it's the thing that happens to people.
You don't even have to make a joke about it. Sometimes not making a joke about really dark subjects is the funniest thing.
Yeah.
Is the funniest way to approach it.
Right.
But I do know what you're saying. It seems like maybe both were a missed opportunity to have... They were making jokes about it instead of sort of letting it just sit there and like letting you be like, what? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like letting you, I don't know, Carl Winslow, let's want to reexamine that. I want to come back to that. And for everybody on the subreddit who I've had a fantastic conversation with, your conversations with me has been fantastic is what I mean to say. Wait, maybe that came out backwards too. I don't know. Anyway, everybody who's contributed on the subreddit. Hello?
Hello?
What year is this? Hello? Is this milk still good? So for everybody who's brought up interesting points to me, thank you. That's what I was trying to get at.
There you go.
And that I've said we'll address it. We'll get to it. I just would like to make a point to say that I don't necessarily mean the very next episode because there are some things that we've sort of dog-eared for future episodes. So and Carl Winslow ate my dog. Hopefully we'll be able to revisit this point. And if you don't hear us talking about it in opportunity or in shows where we may have missed it or other shows where you may see the same thing sort of being tackled again, please bring it up. Please don't feel like you're a broken record. I'm the biggest broken record of them all, man. And I co-host the show, which is obnoxious as shit. So I don't listen to it. Okay. So Coffee Sports, his first thoughts, the early 90s is the only time period that this show could have existed.
Yep.
And that's not really a compliment, is what he said.
I agree, man. This gives me the same feeling of – I know this was on Friday night. I know this was a TGIF show, and I remember watching it, eating Little Caesar's Pizza.
Oh, God, yeah.
But it gives me inside of my brain the same feeling as America's Funniest People gave me on a Sunday night. Like, the dread of having to get up the next day. Like, it was a weird, like, TV in this time period was so weird. And it was all there was. Like, this was all you had. Like, I don't think people really, like, I think, I don't know, we say that a lot on this show, but I can't overstate it enough. Like, this is all there fucking was.
Like, this was it, man. This was it. You didn't, I mean, you know, video game, I definitely played the shit out of video games when I was a kid. But I watched more television than I played video games. And I know I usually don't, maybe you and I have said this before on the Continue Cast, maybe you and I have talked about this before.
What is that?
I don't. It's another podcast we're on that you can listen to. The Continue Kiss. You know, I don't know that anybody was ever a bigger gamer than us. I don't know if now even these kids are bigger gamers than us. I mean, no. Like, dude, I'm like Mr. Video Games. I'm Mr. Steal Your Video Games. I'm Mr. Beat the Video Game. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I did was play video games, and I watched more television than I played video games.
Yeah, no, I did too, man. I mean, I remember coming home and watching everything.
Yeah, that's what it was. And like you said, man, you know, it's I thought you were going to say that this show feels like a summer, a mid-season, like, replacement, which it kind of does.
It does feel like that, too. But more importantly to me, it just feels like a weird time in my life when, like, I was afraid of everything. And, like, I was just a kid, and I don't know. What a bizarre show. Like,
it's
really bizarre. I don't know.
Dude, it's funny because you look at Fraggle Rock and you're like, that could be a show today. Like that it's almost like, how is there not a show like that today? But you look at Dinosaurs and you're like, man, you know, Coffee Sports hits the nail on the head. It's just like, this is not, it could never have existed. And I know he says it's not a compliment. And it's funny because when we ended the last podcast where the three of us were talking, we were like, what are we going to talk about Dinosaurs?
And this is the longest podcast of all time.
It is. You said, what are we going to talk about Dinosaurs? When I said that, you were like, well, we're going to talk about how that it's only a show that could have been made in the 90s.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that he said the same exact thing. And it's, yeah, man, I mean, this was the time. It was maybe the end of that time period. Because things, when they started becoming more decentralized, when cable, and a great movie to watch, a companion movie you should check out, is Cable Guy, which I know a lot of people like to dismiss or write off. It's one of the darkest comedies ever. Ben Stiller, home run movie. Mm-hmm. I love it to death, and it's very prophetic about the nature of not just television, but of media and news coverage and video games. Even there's a whole thing about video games in there, like a little diatribe real in like at the end, or a little tangent rather. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, this is it's definitely a nexus of bizarre, and we're right in the middle of the storm.
It was like Nirvana came out and TV got crazy.
Josh,
and then Kurt Cobain killed himself, and then TV got like kind of okay. It got like normal.
Yeah. I thought about that today, and I know we always talk about like watershed films or like benchmark like albums and stuff like that. I don't know, man. I very rarely get that way, but today I was listening to music and I just started to lament because, I mean, you and I have been really into, I think I've been, in the last 2 years, I've been more into music than I've ever been in my entire life, and that's really saying something. And like, but just thinking about like how, again, just how there's an infinite amount of choices, which is great. I love that. I love that there's so many things. There's so much good music. I can't even remember the names of songs. Forget artists, which sometimes I can't understand not knowing the name of an artist or
album.
Yeah,
I never remember names of songs.
Now I can't even remember names of songs anymore. And it's nuts to think about. And there will never be a Smells Like Teen Spirit ever again. It'll never happen again.
Yeah. It was like the one thing that overnight was like, oh, this is what we're doing.
Right. And like, you know, Hit Me Baby One More Time, maybe, kind of, sort of. But that wasn't a cultural call to action. It just changed everybody's fashion sense for a couple years.
Yeah.
You know, like, all right, anyway, let's get back to the show. Eugene Cake. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, I don't know. Like, this is such a weird, like, time. This is like, I always think about the early 90s, and I don't generally think of that time fondly, and for whatever reason, I don't really know why. Like, my childhood wasn't terrible. I had a pretty good childhood, but like, I just always think of it as such a strange, weird time, and this show really, it's like a nugget in the weirdness of that.
I'm only 2 years older than you, and like, in those 2 years, I guess maybe I had the I was going to say sentience. That's not the word. Conscious, I guess, or consciousness. That, like, I was playing Jaws on NES one night, and my dad called me upstairs, and he's like, come on upstairs. There's a war on TV.
Yeah,
and that was the Gulf War, and it was like the night vision, cameras in from CNN and the coverage, yeah. I was a little kid,
mm-hmm.
and it was February 1990, right
or yeah, whatever, something or, like that.
Yeah, and like so, you know, the early 90s was I just remember it gaining steam like in 94. It's funny you said when Kurt Cobain killed himself, because I don't know why. It's like 94, 95, 96. All of a sudden, 96, it was like, yeah, everything's great. And then 98, everything started getting real weird again.
But yeah, things got really weird. And then 9/11 happened.
That was one weird day.
That was one weird day.
All right, so Eugene Cake, long-time friend, second-time caller, I don't know. Eugene, who I've teased before, we got to get on the show. We really got to get him on the show. He left this incredible – you want to talk about a master's thesis. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He left this really interesting piece, and it's really funny. So I'm going to do my best to power through all like the major points of it, because this podcast isn't already 2 hours long.
It's crazy long.
This is half an hour episode, 22 minutes of dinosaurs. Dinosaurs.
This is – I don't know. Either we're geniuses or we're idiots.
Idiot geniuses.
Yeah.
Dude, man. Eugene Cake. One of the first scenes of the show is a newscast in which the Ankylosaurus, which is already
that's funny,
announces an extinction-level event of an asteroid that is imminent.
Yeah.
But then he updates it with a moment later with a story saying, oh, sorry, never mind.
Never mind. Yep.
And he supposes from that, he goes, I thought, what was this show's premise supposed to be an entire what if? Like an alternate history where the extinction of dinosaurs never took place.
Well, we can't tell you that.
Right. And he says, rather than being wiped out, they evolved and developed civilizations and technologies along with some of the pitfalls of life that the show commentates on. Like some of the show's commentaries are the burden of loved ones and selfishness. And then he says, I thought that would have been awesome, but as the show progressed, the narrative kind of becomes unraveled. The reverse countdown calendar and the invention of the hula hoop, which you can see later in the episode. So it sort of like dips its hand that it's not that. But man, what a great point, Eugene, that like, because I never would have looked at it that way. And there is even an episode much later in the series where it's a clip show where there's a paleontologist unearthing parts of the quote-unquote dinosaur, like from the show Dinosaurs, the dinosaur civilization,
right.
And he like finds like a TV.
Yeah,
and he's like this is a box, this weird box they must have worshipped and gathered around. Like I didn't rewatch it for our show. I just remember it, and now like when he left that comment, I was like, man, that's even though it's a clip show, that might be an interesting show to revisit because it's a live action actor in our time, which is also super Jim Henson. That's like a super Fraggle Rock shit right there, where it's like oh, it's a Muppet World. Also, there are people.
There's people here. Yeah,
which I mean, you know, that's totally like the Muppet Show and everything back in the day. So then Eugene goes on to say, he goes, but this household stinks of dino domestic violence. The father aggressively demands dinner, prays for the eggs, the egg death of his child.
Yeah.
And then ultimately abandons his family only to return when it dawns on him that they're the only people in the world that can reflect the cycles of abuse he is forced to endure upon them with impunity.
And then, is Eugene a psychologist?
Wait, he goes, eventually he tells his wife, I don't give a damn about your day.
He does say that.
Dude, and then Eugene says, I'm pretty sure those animatronic eyes of hers emote, call the police, into the camera for only a brief moment.
Oh my god. That's the greatest comment ever.
Dude,
brilliant.
Talk about rewatching the show, and like next time you watch it, just again, you know, like, you know, watching Jaws backwards, it's a shark that throws up until people open up a beach, or throws up people until they open up a bunch of beaches. So you watch the show instead, and just be like, give it that backstory. Be like, oh yeah, Earl is abusive,
yeah,
and then it just changes the whole context of the show.
Yeah.
All right, so onto a lighter note. But dude, Eugene, that was like so funny. It, like, blew like a funny fuse in my head. Like, I couldn't like laugh at it. I was like, that's brilliant. I love call the police. Like, this is the dead animatronic eyes just like spiking the camera. I don't give a damn about your day.
That was good.
Thank you.
That was really good.
Thank you. Garbageson, good name, Garbageson says, I had never heard or seen of this show before listening to this podcast, and I was significantly happier then. So that's definitely a comment.
Wow. Wow. I thought I was a hater. I thought I was going to be the one hating.
I don't think I clipped that out. I think that was just the comment. I think that may have been just
that
the entire
dude
thing.
Hated dinosaurs.
Serial Dork Vest says, I was looking at a few other episodes, and there's one where Earl makes a deal with the devil for a mug. What is this show? And I, you know,
pretty much, yeah.
There it is. Yeah. I just thought those two comments were interesting because it's like, yeah, that's what we're dealing with here. Again, can't impress upon you enough about shows like this existing in the 90s, etc., etc. Ostrich Man 13 had another interesting comment.
He evolved from dinosaurs.
He did. Is that scene in the forest where Earl talks to that mammal? Seriously, what the heck is that thing? Supposed to be a majority versus minority conversation? That's what Ostrich Man 13 says. Like, he's asking about the subtext. He says, I mean, the thing, the mammal says how everyone listens to Earl and no one listens to him because Earl's a dinosaur. The majority that, quote, runs the world, aka white people, and that the little guy is a mammal and he's at the bottom of the food chain, literally, aka every other minority. And then Ostrich Man 13 goes on to say, Illuminati confirmed for dinosaurs.
Yeah, well, that's it had to start somewhere.
Well, we kind of brought up the uncomfortable point that he may have been a Jewman. He may have been the Jewish man.
He may have been a Jewish man.
Jewish man.
Which makes, actually, I think that's probably what they were going for with that character.
Yeah, maybe.
As uncomfortable.
I mean, you know.
Pretty subtle. Pretty subtle.
Very subtle. 90s subtle. All the subtlety of having a talking dinosaur talk about climate change. Yeah. Okay, so.
Hey, a Bush was president, so.
Yep, that is a thing.
Shit was crazy.
I'm Beck, dude, that's a home run right there, Josh. I'm Beck 10 says, I'm really interested to know who the target audience was for this show. Like, for such
good
a childish
question.
Look, yeah, this is a good question. And I know we kind of like have danced around this subject, but
I don't know. I literally have no idea. I don't know.
We kind of talked about this in a prior episode of our show about like not getting super deep into production because we don't want to watch like all like the featurettes and production notes. It's too much heavy lifting. It's sort of like a come what you know, have the conversation sort of thing. It's us talking about it. We're watching it and talking about it, you know? Right. So like I'll do a little bit of research and the guys sometimes will look into some stuff too, but I'm back 10. That is not only a really good question. I think it's really interesting. You know, like just who were they targeting? Cause this did come after The Simpsons.
Right.
So who was it targeted as? And like you said, the time slot, who was it targeted at?
This is a great idea for a show. Mm-hmm. They plastered on like right on top of it, like unapologetically, they plastered on their money-making idea.
Yeah.
This is a show that like would have been on like in an art museum. It's like a social commentary about the way people are, and it's a great thought.
That's really
piece.
Interesting. But man, then, you just put that in my brain. Now that's my move, my head movie for the night.
Yeah, but then they're like, oh, but you know, not the mama.
Right. Well, he goes on to say, for such a childish look and being Muppet dinosaurs and all, I could feel a very dark tone from the pilot. He says, you know, and of course that's where we've sort of like been talking about. And he says, the dinosaurs eat talking food. Earl hates his life and leaves his family to die. For him to die, rather, because he lost his job for the day.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, that's what happens in this pilot. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. He has like a midlife crisis. He like breaks down.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to be 60.
Yeah.
He's like, Fran, I'm already 43. Yeah. Like that. They don't even make like dinosaur number jokes.
Yeah. They just say, I'm this old.
They say the thing.
Yeah.
Man, this is fucking holy shit. How did we end up in the deep end?
Well, like this isn't the first show to do something like that. I mean, shit like this has been going on. It was going on in the 80s, like the whole sort of like nihilism, like the world might end. You know, there's all kinds of like really dark sort of like stuff going on. Like I think, like I brought up earlier, the Land of Illusion puppets.
Yeah,
like there was a show.
There was.
I don't remember the name of it right now, but
it was British, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's very, it's just dark, and that's okay, but I mean, like you said, you gotta know your audience. Like, this is on a fucking 9 o'clock time slot on ABC on a Friday night. You know, like, what are you doing? Like,
right. Yeah, dude.
What is this? This is like an MTV show.
And that's, you know, that's, it's sort of like a cable show. Not like a network show, like a cable show where it'd been like, oh, we have to figure something out. Just throw it against the wall, see what sticks.
This is like what they would play on, like, Comedy Central, like, or something. Like, this is, it's very a, much such so. A bizarre, it's so bizarre.
It's so bizarre. And you know, as interested as I would be to look into the production of some of the things that we've already watched on the show, maybe the only thing that sticks out in my head that I would really be really interested to see is, like, what the production of the pilot of TNG was. Mm-hmm. You know, I would really be able to watch, like, I would watch an entire documentary or a featurette or whatever about the show. Like, the entire, not just the pilot, like the entirety of the show.
Yeah.
You know, so. Also, Beck 10 goes on to say, also, Letterman jacket wearing dinosaurs be cool because of his mohawk and Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
And you're right, M. Beck 10. That's a good point. That's fucking great. I like that our listeners are, like, totally getting our sense of humor, or maybe we have their sense of humor. It's good. Letterman jacket dinosaur. Letterman jacket mohawk dinosaur.
I don't know.
Has a mohawk and a Letterman jacket.
I don't know how many mohawk kids with mohawks I know wear Letterman jackets.
I thought it was funny because when I was watching, I was like, are the kids different species than their parents?
How'd that happen?
And I was like, no, they're not, but they're not mixed either. Robbie is his father, but he's not fat and he's not bald. Like, Earl, you can see there are stubs where there may have been spikes.
Right.
So I imagine Earl was bald. And then Fran has an updo because she is a responsible homemaker.
Yes.
Doesn't have time to take care of long hair.
Doesn't have time.
Yep. And so, last but not least, and, oh my God.
This better be good.
I need a gallon of water after this, like, running a fucking marathon.
This is crazy.
Diode for Justice makes some really interesting – he has some really interesting things to say about the nature of the formulaic sitcom, discussing both The Simpsons, which a lot of people brought up, and we've talked about at length, but also Louie.
Yeah, the episode of Louie.
Yep.
I thought about that before I read this comment, not to hipster you.
No.
I was thinking about that today when I was eating breakfast this morning. I was like, it's like that episode of Louie when he goes in and his wife just fucking nags him and, you know, it's the sexist roles that characters play in shitty television.
and again, like, I know that you're not condemning the show, but you're sort of taking the show to task for it, and where I'll not defend the show, but what I think is not that you don't think it's creative or interesting, but I find it entertaining that they start from that baseline and then all of a sudden Fran is like, wait, why am I making you dinner? Like, they created the dinosaurs in the fiction created a society that is built on the cliches of all the television that preceded it.
Right.
Even though in their fiction, nothing had ever preceded that before. And so when they establish all those tropes, then they buck all of that. They're like, no, it doesn't have to be this way. We're not going to be like this. In fact, the show, as much as everybody left a comment about the end of the show, everybody left how it scarred them. We talk about how dark it is. The show goes in that direction.
Right.
The show you're watching. The meta show. The meta.
It's meta. Exactly. The fact that they are dinosaurs living that life is a comment on that type of life.
Exactly.
They are dinosaurs. They're relics.
They're
like that television
extinct
trope. Yeah.
They're extinct. And in the show, they're going extinct.
Right.
And so Diode for Justice goes on to say, the only episode I distinctly remember about dinosaurs was a very special episode about drugs.
Everyone loved that.
But he has like an extensive comment, which is really worth reading. And he talks about the parallels of Simpsons and Louie and exactly the episode you were talking about, Josh. So I'm going to cut to this other point here. He makes about the only episode he remembers is the one where Robbie does drugs, and which is funny because that's the episode I always think about the show when it's brought up. A teen boy dinosaur finds a plant that makes you feel really good. He starts eating it regularly, and then with his friends, and then things spiral out of control. Mm-hmm. A lot of sitcoms. This is Diode saying this. A lot of sitcoms, especially those aimed at kids and teens, felt the need to deliver a message, a stark message in the middle of an otherwise lighthearted series.
This is the middle of the DARE era.
It very much is. This is the Nancy Reagan. Yeah. All about, yeah. Yeah. Her campaign for kids to get off drugs, winners don't use drugs, FBI warning, all that stuff, in the front of video games. So Diode goes on to say about these episodes often involve drugs, gangs, or bullying. And I remember, do you remember the gang episodes? See, that's not a thing anymore. Now everything's about bullying. And,
right,
and
bullying's
not even
back.
Drugs,
bullying's
but
back
like,
big time.
Bullying is the hot topic right now, or the hot button issue right now.
Which
like,
is weird, because when you shop at Hot Topic, you're going to get bullied.
You're going to get bullied. But back then, drugs were a major, lightning rod for these PSAs and guns too, especially guns and gun safety and all that stuff, which is still around, but
yeah.
gangs you don't see anymore, but he's absolutely right about the gangs thing. I think there was like an episode of like Captain Planet about that shit. Anyway.
There was, dude, apparently at some point gangs were everywhere and
dude,
they all
like,
wanted
yeah.
to dance with each other.
There's an episode of Captain Planet about like a race war. I definitely, dude, I'm not making that up. I remember it because the show is multicultural and everything, and it was about like a race war and they go to a future. I swear to God, they go to the future and like everything terrible that like all the whole show everything the show preached about happens. There's nuclear war between nations. There's no ozone layer, so it's really hot, but everybody there's no ozone layer, and then the greenhouse effect is like in full effect, and so everybody's really hot. But because there's no ozone layer,
everyone's got cancer.
That totally backwards because I'm running out of steam. That's how long the show is.
Yeah,
the greenhouse effect has made the world really hot, but since there's no ozone layer, there's no protection from the sun, so everybody's bundled up like it's winter. Woo! There it is.
Yeah,
because
you can't. Yeah, because the bee waves get through and they cause
right,
you to die,
and they make you a French fry, and
yeah,
so like,
they kill
and,
you.
And I'm telling you. I remember. I'm not telling you what happens in the episode. I'm telling you, I remember that in the episode, there is a footnote or something about how there was a race war, too, because mm-hmm. people couldn't get along culturally, and that white people lost. And mm-hmm. I was like, because, you know, white people are greatly outnumbered. And it's, dude, man, this, woo, early 90s, dude. Like,
they were just doing whatever, man.
Meg Ryan was voicing people on that show. It was crazy, dude.
Do you remember the Rodney King episode of Captain Planet? That was fucking crazy.
I'm telling you, man. So then Diode again goes on to say, I'm curious about the motivation behind these PSA episodes. Some of them were probably made by the demands of the network, which I'm sure was the case, or they had like some sort of, you know, contract to do that sort of thing with advertisers or the foundations that like pay for like time slots on networks
yeah,
and whatnot. And I understand that completely.
Involved with that.
And then he goes on to say, he continues with, and that all that's done, of course, with some sort of ulterior motive. But others might have existed because the writers and or directors are desiring to make something more dramatic happen in the series. Mm-hmm. And to that, I would say that if Henson would have been alive, there wouldn't have been an anti-drunk episode. Absolutely not.
There
if,
would not have been, because that
anything
dude
else,
loved fucking drugs.
There would have been a pro-drug episode. And for proof, watch Fraggle Rock.
Yep.
The Fraggles eat the Dozer's crystals, and it's just, it's meth, or whatever the fuck it is.
It's just, yeah, it's whatever.
It's drugs. And everybody drops acid, and... All right, woof, Josh,
key
man.
Key parties.
Key parties like crazy.
That's
right.
Speaking of key parties, where's Dom?
Who?
Friday. To make you go, yeah. Hang out with family buddies and
beer.
Then cartoons are so warm and cuddly.
Yeah, it makes me want to puke.
Roseanne and Tom Arnold are coming to TGIF. The Rosie and Buddy Show, a TGIF special. Here to sing our national anthem.
Skip that part. I like that.
Followed by dinosaurs and baby talk.
Things that make you go.
TGIF Friday.
And that's it, everyone. This has been the longest episode of Syndication Station ever. You see what happens now when Dom goes away. We're left our own devices, and it doesn't stop. So it's crazy. This is the shortest show we've ever done.
We've ever watched, yeah.
Ever watched. And then this is the longest episode. So you get a lot with this show.
You
do.
I'm
not going to say it's the best show ever,
Yeah, a lot of bang for your buck, man. I mean, yeah. We can't thank our listeners enough for coming out in force again. I already talked about at the beginning of the episode, 50 comments by the time we recorded this, and I'm sure there's still some being left. Man, oh, Shevitz. Woo-wee. So, that's for our little mammal friend. So anyway, man, Josh, we're not syndicating it this week. We already did the spooky cast.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. Dude, I took my shirt off halfway through this episode. I'm not going to lie to you, man.
I had to close my windows because it's loud as fuck where I live. I live on a street that is like an echo chamber. So I'm ready to take my pants off, or at least like stick my wiener out or something. Get some air.
I gotta put some like ice packs in my pants because I'm so hot. Yeah, from sitting doing this. All right. Everyone.
What are we watching next week?
Oh yeah, that. Oh man. We're gonna watch the A-Team.
Yes.
So let's just say that without ceremony, instead of being like, all right, gang, here's we're watching the A-Team, season 4, episode 7. That's it. That's all. That's all there is to it.
Okay. Sounds good.
A-Team, season 4, episode 7, Body Slam, co-starring special guest star, Hulk Hogan.
Terry Bollea.
Terry Tropic and Thunder Hogan. Was that what it was called? Tropic Thunder.
What is that? Thunder in Paradise.
What was Tropic?
Tropic Thunder is the Ben Stiller movie.
Yeah, that. What did I say?
What? Oh my god!
I would tell you to cut that out, but it's funny.
We're gonna leave it. No, I'm not cutting any of this.
Yeah, you just leave it all in.
This is going for the world record of podcast length.
Well, I mean, look. Here's where I got confused in my brain. Let me explain you my mini stroke. Because B.A. Baracus.
Yeah.
That's his initials, isn't it? He's Baracus. No, he's like...
Bad Attitude.
Bad Attitude Baracus, right? For.
Yeah.
But...
Because they couldn't say ass in 1985.
Right, so he's B.A. Baracus.
Let's just go right into next week's episode right now. Let's just do it right now.
So I thought Hulk Hogan was in Thunder in Paradise. I mean, you can see how I would get confused about
I can
this.
See how you could get confused.
Terry Tropic Thunder in Paradise.
Hogan.
Man.
Hoagie.
I think I said, I don't even know what I'm saying. Okay, so that's all, guys. Next week, the A-Team, here we go. We're going to do a 4-hour episode next week.
Yep.
Josh, what do you want to do at the end of this episode now? Let's talk about that.
Well, I'd like to say thank you for leaving comments on the iTunes. It's awesome when you do that. It really helps us to get on the front page, which we are not on anymore. Because we took a week off because of it's vacation.
It's vacation real life. Yes, staycation at work. Wonderful. Gang, to reinforce what Josh just said. Now, I know, you know, there are some... They got their rules and regulations about us calling you to action on certain things on iTunes. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll let you know a secret. Some things we can't say on the show, even though we're not sponsored or anything. But we can thank you for leaving comments on the iTunes. And the more comments that you guys leave on the iTunes...
The more it helps us.
The more it helps us out. On iTunes, leave comments. I will say that other shows that are as popular as ours or are featured as like us have if a dozen comments. And
yeah, you guys are really good about leaving us comments.
I can't believe it. Last I saw, we had like 60-some comments. It's insane.
It's up to 63, which is almost like 5 dozen.
Literally tens of comments. Old school Josh Henderson shit right there. Dude, yeah, gang, you gotta represent the show, man. And
just
I can't
keep
think enough. It's incredible. I'm not saying you gotta like you're not doing it. I'm saying you gotta like you're doing a great job, man. Yeah. Josh, these guys, they're great. We should have them on the show. Everybody should be on the show. We should have all the listeners
we
on the
should.
Show once.
Because I think I'm going to need a week off again after this episode.
Yeah, man. We'll call it a key party, and you can just bring your significant other. Whatever. No questions asked. It's cool.
Yeah,
you know,
whoever.
It's fun. Whatever. It's fun. And maybe we'll resurrect Dom, and he'll be a Dracula by then. He'll be a fire Dracula. He'll be like that episode of The X-Files where those Draculas died in a wildfire in California. Holy shit!
Oh my God.
Just imploded on itself. All right, gang. Thanks again so much for listening. Even more so for leaving comments. iTunes, Podomatic, we're on that, right? Facebook, Twitter, incredible. Tell your friends. Holla at your boy. Keep on trucking. I don't know what else. Somebody had mentioned something called Stitcher.
Yeah, we're not on Stitcher, I don't think. Fantasy Fiction is, but we are not.
I haven't looked that up or looked into that. If someone would like to help me out.
We could do it.
Okay. You guys don't have to help us. We'll do the work. You know, we'll make the show. You guys can just listen to it.
That's all you got.
That's all you got. Yeah, that's fine. I know the internet likes to help sometimes, and they're like, but I know. And it's like, yeah, no, I know you think you're helping, but in this case, you actually may be helping. So, all right, gang. Until next time, A-Team, episode 7 of season 4, Body Slam. Maybe we'll bring Dom back to life. Wait a minute. Are we going to continue the grand tradition of continue cast? Is Dom going to be a special guest next week?
No, we don't have those stupid rules on this podcast.
Good, get fucked, continue cast.
Which I hate that rule, because it's like, if I get sick and then I get demoted, it's like, yeah, but I didn't. Next time, you know what? I'm going to fucking just show up with the damn flu and cough inside of your mouth. Then we'll see who's a special fucking guest. Influenza, motherfucker.
Get wrecked, Paul. It's about you. There, we didn't make fun of Paul yet this episode. I just realized.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
He hates diseases.
Hey, you want to play Hearthstone?
Yeah, let's go do that.
Okay, cool.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later. Or not. Talk to you later.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.